The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
I'll be filling in for Kathy today. It is Friday, November 19th. Good morning. We'll begin with this story. The Camden County Health Department says thousands of residents may have been impacted after a Starbucks employee recently contracted hepatitis A.
Oh, there you go. Oh,
boy. Officials say the employee handled food at the Starbucks located at 1490 Blackwood Clementon Road in Gloucester Township. The health department recommends any member of the public who patronizes a Starbucks facility on November 4th, 5th, 6th, 11th, 12th, and 13th to get a hepatitis A vaccine. Camden County Health Officer Pashal Anwako said the county health department has been working closely with the patient and the staff at Starbucks to address the situation. Our highest priority is ensuring that everyone involved remains safe and healthy. The patient is not currently working and close contacts have been identified. We encourage anyone who may believe that they were exposed to get vaccinated against hepatitis A by calling the county health department or your primary care physician.
And Preston, they're recommending they get a venti vaccination.
Oh, you gotta get a biggie.
Yeah.
The food worker who contracted the virus is not currently working, and health officials have identified all those who were in close contact with the worker, but officials estimate that as many as 4,000 people may be impacted by this. Yeah. Because the worker was going for a series of days.
Yes.
And obviously they see a lot of business. The health department is offering free vaccinations to anyone who visited the Starbucks during that time period. The vaccines will be offered at the clinic at 508 Lakeland Road in Blackwood from 3 to 7 p.m. today and 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. tomorrow. And they said if you did come into contact with material that came out of the drive-thru or you went inside the building itself, you should absolutely get vaccinated.
It's very contagious. Yeah, it is.
Hepatitis A is usually spread when a person ingests fecal matter, even in microscopic amounts, from contact with objects, food, or drinks contaminated by the feces or stool of the infected person. The health department recommends any member of the public who patronized that, once again, on these dates, November 4th, 5th, 6th, 11th, 12th, and 13th, you get the hepatitis A vaccine. Signs and symptoms of hepatitis can include the following: fever, fatigue, loss of appetite, nausea, vomiting, abdominal discomfort, dark urine, clay-colored bowel movement, joint pain, jaundice, which is yellowing of the skin or eyes. And health officials say symptoms of the disease surface 2 to 4 weeks after the exposure, although they can, in some instances, occur 2 to 7 weeks after the exposure.
Nice. Got to be aware.
Yep. It's Hep C is the one that is a real mother effer.
Yeah.
You know, Hep A and Hep B are nothing to, you know, mess with, but Hep C is the one that can really, really take you out.
But you want to go and get a vaccination for Hep A on this one. SEPTA police said the suspects involved in a violent assault involving students on the Broad Street line will be charged with ethnic intimidation. According to the transit agency, the incident happened after school on Wednesday around 3:30 p.m. on a train near Erie Station. Video of the assault shows a female student yelling at another group of students sitting on the train. SEPTA Police Chief Thomas Nessel and the victims in the attack are Asian, said the victims in the attack are Asian, and the four suspects are African-American females. The altercation quickly escalated. In the video, one of the female students, now a suspect, is seen throwing a punch. The group of victims sit and try to shield themselves. One of the suspects gets into the face of another female student who is standing. Then the suspect's attention goes back to the students who are sitting. More obscenities are shouted, and then the situation turns more violent. The female student who is standing gets hit in the face multiple times. Then her head is slammed against the side of the train, and she is taken to the ground. She is punched and stomped on repeatedly. One of the suspects is seen taking off her shoe and hits the victim repeatedly. Then you hear someone's voice, and the video stops. Nessel said this was an attack based on ethnicity, and ethnic slurs were used by the attackers. On Thursday night, the Philadelphia District Attorney's Office approved charges of aggravated assault, ethnic intimidation, criminal conspiracy, civil assault, and other related offenses against four of the juveniles. One suspect has been charged with one additional count of robbery for an attempted theft of one of the victim's AirPods. And then we have a follow-up story from yesterday, a story yesterday. Two parents are facing charges now after a two-year-old boy accidentally shot himself inside a home in the Point Breeze section of Philadelphia, police said. Happened around 9:40 p.m. Wednesday in the 1700 block of South Cleveland Street. The family members told police the child was handling a gun when it went off and struck him once in the stomach. Police said the bullet exited through his back. Child's parents took him into her car and drove to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, and he was placed in critical condition and taken into surgery, later upgraded to stable condition. Police found a handgun in the upstairs bedroom on the floor next to the bed. Philadelphia Police Chief Inspector Scott Small said that the boy is very lucky to be alive. In addition to the boy and his parents, police said that there were two other adults and a six-year-old child inside the home at the time. Police said that the boy's father, 34-year-old Saul Rosario, was charged with endangering the welfare of a child, violation of Uniform Firearms Act, and other related offenses. Alexandra Aponte, who is the boy's mother, was charged with endangering the welfare of a child and other related offenses. Philadelphia Police Commissioner Daniel Outlaw released a statement Thursday morning saying yet another one of our precious children has suffered a critical injury as a result of gunfire. While the manner in which the child was shot is still under investigation, it is already apparent that as a community, we must do everything possible to ensure that our children are safe in their homes. All right, in sports this morning. Flyers lost to the Tampa Bay Lightning in an overtime shootout last night in South Philly, falling 4-3. Claude Giroux scored his second of the game with only 8 seconds left to force the overtime, but the Lightning were able to score twice in the shootout to get the win. The Flyers will be at home again tomorrow night, and they'll host the Bruins. Puck's going to drop at 9. Game will be broadcast right here on WMMR. Sixers were on the road. They beat the Nuggets in Denver. Tyrese Maxey scored 22 points. Seth Curry added 20. And the shorthanded Sixers, who were still without Joel Embiid and three other regulars, beat the Nuggets 103-89 to end a 5-game losing streak.
Nice.
Road trip out west continues tomorrow night with a game in Portland against the Trail Blazers. In Thursday night football, New England Patriots shut out the Falcons, winning 25-0 in Atlanta. Mac Jones threw a 19-yard scoring pass for the game's only offensive touchdown, and the Patriots' defense took care of the rest of the way into the fifth straight win for them. And big news in baseball, Bryce Harper has been named the National League MVP. And Harper claimed his second MVP award and first with the Phillies, capturing 17 of the 30 first-place votes from the Baseball Writers Association of America. The 29-year-old Harper became the fourth player since 2000 to win multiple MVPs before turning 30, joining Mike Trout, Albert Pujols, and Alex Rodriguez. Mike Schmidt, the Phillies legend who won the MVP three times, presented the award to Harper.
Awesome.
All right, and there you go. That's what I got for you this morning. It is Friday. We're all excited about that, so we have some things lined up and ready to go today. We give away our Word of the Week prize, and that's just a nice, simple $500 cash prize.
Right there, right for you to use.
It's a beautiful thing.
Money.
And we're having a comedian, John Heffron, who's going to be on the show today. He's at Helium Comedy Club, so are we doing a Zoom thing with him, or are we doing a call, or what? Yeah.
Well, you know, it's John. It'll be tactical Zoom.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I know.
He's such a freak about that stuff. So we'll talk. We'll see what his latest prepper life is like when we talk to him later on
this
morning.
He's great.
He's awesome. Yeah. Man. So we'll talk to John around 9. Other than that, we have things to talk about, things to give away. So why don't we go ahead and take a break, come back in a second, and the entertainment report is up, as you know. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Beautiful sunrise this morning, and those of you early risers who've been up for, you know, a couple of hours by now, hopefully you had a chance to see the eclipse.
Very cool.
That was really cool this morning. Yeah. I did a double take. When I stepped out, I looked up. It was kind of an orangish, weird color, and I was like, what the hell is that? I'm like, did Jupiter move a lot closer to the
what's happening
to the planet? It kind of freaked me out for a millisecond. Yeah. It freaked me out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, the eclipse. Yeah. It was really cool. So
it was sort of undersold a bit, and I found it pretty impressive.
Well, most people weren't going to be up for it, I guess. So, but right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, I'm not usually wowed by those things. Like, I love a sunset or a sunrise, but that one got me this morning.
It was cool, right?
Driving in over Boathouse Row, I was like, all right, this is pretty awesome.
I hope you saw it. All right, so stupid question this morning, $150 Fogo to Show gift card we're going to give away for the answer to this question. What is the largest island in the contiguous United States?
Huh.
It's an interesting answer. 215-263-WMMR. What is the largest island in the contiguous United States? Or is it contiguous?
Contiguous.
Contiguous. Let's see if you know the answer.
Exculpatory.
215-263-WMMR. I'll go through some birthdays today. We'll start with Dick Cavett.
Oh, my God.
The television show host, the talk show host. And we had him in the studio one time.
We did.
That was cool.
So this, you got to remember that the day after Woodstock, he had those musicians in on his show.
Yeah.
He was so targeting the younger viewership because Carson had everything else sold up. You know, he was just killing. So he picked his deal and went for that. And it was really cool. He was sort of counter programming and succeeding for a while.
Did he have Forrest Gump on as a guest?
He did.
Okay, yeah.
He and Forrest and John Lennon together.
That's crazy.
Let us not forget. Wow. Yeah. Dick Cavett is 85
today.
It's
easy if you try.
Adam Driver.
Hey!
Great actor. Celebrates his 38th birthday today.
He is really good. Initially, I was like, all right, what's this guy's story? And he's done a lot now. Very versatile.
Yeah, I don't care for his character very much in The Force Awakens.
Nice.
No!
He's
a whiny... Yeah.
Why do they keep making these... These Sith lords and stuff, all whiny little bitches.
Vader had it nailed. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it.
But when Vader was young, he was a whiny bitch.
He was a whiny bitch.
Yeah.
Wait, he's
we
in...
see what Luke they have was in common, too. And Luke was too.
And you're right. He became an old farting fool on an island.
Do you think Yoda was a whiny little bitch?
No. Yoda was always the man.
I'm trying to figure out what movie this is that Connor pulled up a photo
from. House of Gucci.
Yeah.
Oh. Never
the
mind.
Forthcoming House of Gucci, yeah.
Never mind.
Okay, why? What did you think it was?
There was this other show on Netflix that I thought was him, but maybe it's not.
Okay. So, Adam Driver's 38. Jodie Foster has her birthday today.
The great Jodie Foster. Nell.
She is. Yeah, that's right. She's Nell. Oh, my God.
Gotta get my Nell clips ready. Here we go.
She's 59
today. Y'all gone what?
Yeah.
Also, Tata. I like Nell being Tata.
I wonder what that script looked like.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No. It's black.
I wonder if it was written out that way or if she got to make up, you know, Nell is trying to say this.
Yeah,
and she
just
made it up as she went along. I don't know.
First take, she was like, Sai got along, bong, bong. And they're like, no.
Kong, Kong. What are you, stupid?
That's the best one. Play that again, please, if you will. Sai Adelon Kong Kong.
Yeah! The idea, as I remember, was that she lived with her grandmother, and her grandmother had a stroke, and so was not able to articulate properly, and so that's how she learned English.
Yeah, she was raised that way. Yeah. They were out in the middle of nowhere.
Right. And then her grandmother died, and she ate her grandmother's body.
I don't know if she ate her grandmother's body or not.
Did she win?
She had a twin, too, that died, if you remember.
It was not a critical hit. It was okay. Okay.
Part of that also was the gibberish talk.
Yeah.
They had indicated, and that was, you remember, she had a twin as a kid.
That's right.
Oh.
And the twins have twin speak.
That's right.
They
right.
speak their own weird little language. So that was...
I need to watch it. I've never seen the movie.
Liam Neeson's interesting. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Remember did that contest with Jay Wright, Buck or Nell? And it was Steve, you played a whole bunch of clips from Nell. And Jay had to... And then I think we played like some Milwaukee Bucks or something like that.
Yeah. He did pretty well.
He did, yeah.
Jody's 59
also
today.
Tata, I like...
Actress Allison Janney.
Great.
She's excellent.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah, she's 62 today.
On the show Mom, which I end up watching virtually every night now, because in the primetime schedule, it's either The Voice or some other you know, crap show. But her ability to do comedy and to do straight up drama.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's one of those people that you have to see. Oh, yeah, that's right. She's acting.
Yeah.
She actually is not this person.
I saw her in The Way, Way Back recently. She's great in that. And I, Tonya, she was the standout in that movie.
You know, she's great in early role as the one of the sales execs at In Private Parts.
That's right.
Well, no, she's the general manager of the radio station.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she's talking about, in the beginning of it, how they want to award a toilet for the largest bowel move. She's like, you can understand the logistics of that. So she's 62 today. It's Calvin Klein's birthday today. So one of the big biggies in the world of design.
He had a very aggressive ad campaign for a number of years. Like Brooke Shields was part of that. You remember all those controversial commercials, the Calvin Klein? Nothing comes between me and my Calvins.
Yeah, they always flirted with controversy in the campaigns.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And then there was that one that looked like they were auditioning kids for porn.
That was really troubling.
It was
like paneling on a wall in a basement, and you're hearing an off-camera older voice, you know.
Ask him weird questions.
Yeah.
Do you like your body?
Yeah.
Did any of you guys wear CK1?
No. Wait a minute. The clone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah, I think I remember having some CK1.
It's like late 90s.
Something
that was a
like
scent.
That. Calvin Klein is 79 today. Ahmad Rashad, the former NFL player and football announcer, 72 today.
Ex of
Felicia. Yeah, that's the only thing I really know him as.
Yeah.
Meg Ryan is turning 60 years old today.
Oh, man. She just was the cutest.
The girl next door. The absolute
hot girl
next door, but vivacious and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. She got seduced a little bit by the lip filler and all that. I think she looks okay now. Only to say because there's no need to.
Yeah.
I guess it's easy for me to say when you know, in her realm, you probably feel the pressure.
Sure.
You
keep working?
Yeah.
Sure. She's 60 today. Ted Turner, the media mogul, 83. Alzheimer's, I believe.
Is he, has somebody had some sort of Parkinson's or something that'll eventually be debilitating?
He does have it, yeah. But you know what?
CNN was his brainchild.
Dude, sending up TV on satellites. He was one of the earliest people to get on board for that.
Superstations.
Yep.
Do you remember these?
Atlanta.
I remember sitting at home in New York, and the Braves game would be on it.
Yep.
Why am I watching this?
He really had foresight when it came to the future of what television was going to be.
Steve, I believe he is the largest single landowner in Montana. He owns like several hundred thousand acres.
Damn.
Out west,
and still cuts his hair, Preston, with one of those.
A Flo-Bee.
He
is 83 today. Rocco DiSpirito, celebrity chef, 55 years old. And then the last birthday I saw is musician Matt Sorum. Yes, Guns N' Roses, Velvet Revolver, and just solid drummer.
He is
61 years old today. All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. And it's definitely an interesting. What is the largest island in the contiguous United States? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to go to Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Same to you, sir. Chris, what's the answer we're looking for?
Long Island.
Yeah, Long Island. Yeah.
You know,
hang on a second, Chris.
I grew up on Long Island. There was always the debate whether it was actually an island or a peninsula.
Apparently it's an island.
Yeah.
So we got a $150 Fogo to Show gift card for you. When you order at Fogo, you don't order an entree. You order a night of different things to taste and enjoy. Experience a carved table side. Get to Fogo to discover what's next. Make a reservation for Center City or King of Prussia at Fogo.com and don't eat a week before you go.
You will spend a great part of that night sweating from all the food you ate.
Jennifer Lopez hasn't given up on love yet. The 52-year-old actress told the Today Show that she is open to the idea of marriage.
Well, with Ben Affleck, maybe.
Of course, yes. While opening,
tell me, will you take me as your husband?
While discussing
her
new... You don't give her much choice, do you?
Got this from Steven Singer.
While discussing her new rom-com, Marry Me, she said, I mean, you know me. I'm a romantic. I always have been. The actress previously married 3 times, most recently to Mark Anthony, with whom she shares 2 children and divorced in 2014. She is freshly reunited, of course, with Ben Affleck, which we know.
Which is really cool. There we go. I really like her. I mean, I think she's, you know... she's sort of self-deprecating, and, you know, that's...
She was very diva-y for a while.
Early, yes, you're right. And then, really? Then she evolved. Yeah, right at the beginning, yeah. Around Jenny from the Block.
Yeah.
But I think that's since gone away, and she's kind of...
Jen said, I still believe in Happily Ever After, for sure, 100%. In the new film...
Do you want a big wedding or a small wedding?
I don't know.
You will.
In the new film, Lopez will play...
Do you like this cake? Is this the cake we should have at our wedding?
No.
We will.
He's very decisive.
I guess so.
Man, when they're making the wedding choices.
Yeah, yeah. In the new film...
I want Shorty Long at our wedding.
Oh, my God.
Jersey Horns?
Texas Hold'ems?
Yeah.
What?
For a stretch, for whatever reason. I don't know who was calling. Somebody on the show was calling him Shorty Long and the Texas Hold'ems.
Is there
That's probably
Jersey
Bill.
Yeah.
He always gets those names wrong. So anyhow, in the new film, Lopez will play a pop singer who marries suddenly after discovering her fiancé cheated.
I watched the trailer, and I'm sort of in on it.
Okay.
I'm a sucker for a good... I guess that's why I roll over so easily for the Hallmark movies.
Oh, my God. You know what? It's not even Thanksgiving, and I am so sick and tired of those things being on in my house.
Right. We live in different worlds when it comes to that.
Rochelle has it on nonstop, 24 hours a day. I leave the room. I can't stand it anymore.
Tell her if she wants. She can text me as she's watching, and
She can move in with you guys for a couple of months if you want. I can't stand it.
Claire and I will watch, and she's a little bit more reticent. But we you play the game, you try to guess the plot points. You do a drinking game, but with hot cocoa. You're never offered hot chocolate in these movies. You're always offered. You would like some hot cocoa.
I've tried, and there are times where I'm like, okay, I'll sit down and I'll watch this. And I just,
I was where you were. I completely understand, and then something happened. I don't know what it was.
Nothing's going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Saturday Night Live star Pete Davidson and Kim Kardashian are officially an item.
Whoa, wow.
Page Six is reporting. Marissa thought that was really funny.
I like Casey's reaction to it because these things are just, I can't take it. It's like, really?
Page Six is reporting that the two are a couple, despite their individual reps declining to comment on the relationship. And Kardashian is yet to finalize her divorce, of course, from Kanye West, despite filing that in February. So,
well, the holding hands and hanging out and taking trips together. And, they're not, as Kathy would say, they're not playing Parcheesi.
The big announcement there I did at the top is, keep in mind, this is Page Six saying this. Right. They have not confirmed this. So
right.
It's still up.
They're not Insta-official yet?
Not Insta-official.
They actually are. Didn't they post that picture of them with Flava Flav on Instagram?
Yeah, but Insta-official means, snuggling, canoodling, stating it as well. So not just pictures together.
Wow.
I just can't believe this outfit. She was like wearing a bodysuit and then pulls her sweatpants down so you see the top of the bodysuit.
Okay. Is that a faux pas?
I don't know. It's weird.
Okay.
Like starting a trend, but...
Hailee Steinfeld will join the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Kate Bishop in Hawkeye.
Which is next week.
The actress told Variety, it's really a privilege to be able to play a character that could in any way possibly inspire anyone.
Conceivably, it could inspire someone. Someone who wants to be a hawk.
She said...
I inspired that guy.
That's like a Mark Wahlberg's
character. You see that guy over there?
I did that.
What were you going to say, guys?
In the other guys. He's like, just let me fly. Mark Wahlberg. Did you ever see that movie?
I did not.
It's ridiculous. Great. Wait, it's Will Ferrell.
It's Adam McKay.
His wife in that is... Eva Mendes.
Nice. And she's super hot, and he treats her like crap, the old ball and chain.
All right, so she said, Kate Bishop is a character that I would have loved to have had growing up, somebody who is completely ambitious, driven, and disciplined, and takes it upon herself to do whatever it is she has to do to achieve her goals. She said, I am very excited for people to meet her. The first two episodes of
Hawkeye. It's her.
What's that?
It's her, right? She's playing the character.
Yes, but okay. She means her character. She wants to excited, very excited for people to meet her, the character. The first two episodes of Hawkeye will debut November 24th on Disney Plus.
Very excited. So if they're rolling them out, what are there, six episodes, eight episodes, do we know?
I don't know.
They've been doing at least eight. So, now people aren't doing the... like Netflix is the only one who just dumps it.
I'm fine with parsing it out for me. Nothing has been horrible, and there's been some great stuff in these various shows that they're rolling out. Some I've liked less than others. The reviews on this are pretty damn good, so very excited.
It says at the bottom that it is a two-episode premiere on the 24th, so at least we get two out of it.
You can't keep me cooped up in here, okay? I am a peacock! You gotta let me fly!
The hell is that?
That's what I was talking about with the other guys, with Mark Wahlberg.
I thought that was a clip.
You gotta let me fly. He's like, ah! Oh,
okay. All right. So he makes a noise after that? Ka-ka?
Yes.
Okay. Nick, what is this picture you pulled up
there? There was a press conference yesterday.
Steinfeld.
Yeah, yesterday or the day before. So the next Marvel phase, like 5 or 6, is going to include the Young Avengers. And it's sort of an unkept secret in the Marvel universe. But Kevin Feige, she was asked about it. Haley Steinfeld was asked about it. She turned around and looked at Kevin Feige, and he sort of gave her this look of, you're not allowed to talk about it yet.
Oh, wow.
Then she turned back to the press conference and did her due diligence and didn't say anything. But eventually, she and her character are going to be in the next phase of the Marvel universe. Got
There's it. All sorts of things that they can't keep contained now. Because as they have these various press conferences, the trailer for She-Hulk has her wearing a Fantastic Four outfit.
Yeah, and Steve, and the kids from... WandaVision are also going to be in the Avengers.
Yep.
Yeah, so all of these things are going to continue to come together.
So, and I was having this discussion with Murph earlier this week because I did see, what's the latest one that came out?
Shang-Chi?
The Eternals.
Yeah, okay.
And so at a certain point, they're going to have to put an end to this storyline because at a certain point, because this universe is so big, when you go back to Iron Man... And that was, like, super believable, and no superheroes existed. And now, with the Eternals and all this other stuff, it's like, well, who's not a superhero on this planet? You know what I mean?
Nah, they don't have to put an end to it.
No?
No, the comics have been going on for decades. They continue to go on.
But the thing with Iron Man is that it was like, oh, well, this is believable. And then in Shang-Chi, when they had flying dragons, I'm like, oh, come on already.
Well, here's the deal. Here's the deal. But, they all live in, and it's what actually eventually happens... When you do the comic books, there are many comic book, like the Eternals, I never paid attention to. I read my other comics. So I think there you might find more of a bifurcation, as they say, where people cut off and say, oh, I'm just going to follow this line of movies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that it would be very similar to the comics. Right,
yep.
Preston?
Yep, agreed. Yeah. 100%. So they can keep it going. And I don't see them ever tying it up and ending it because...
It's keeping Hollywood alive.
Yeah, totally.
And No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying reset. If you can do a reset, because at a certain point, like the reality, like the part that appealed to me was that, oh my gosh, this like almost seems real.
In a world like this, existed like this, but then you go to the next world where, okay, you have all of these people with their different powers. Who could take who? Yesterday we were talking about, would Dr. Manhattan be the most... The strongest. But I would say this. I was having this discussion, because Nick Murphy's the one you go to have the discussion with, about, when we start to hit that glut level where I find myself going, I'll wait for this one. I don't need to see this one right now. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And totally. So I'm kind of in that realm now. I still get excited for some. I mean, the next Batman. My car's outside running right now.
I was just that whole time you were talking there. Focusing on the fact that two grown-ass men were talking about who is the most powerful superhero.
I know. Yeah.
I know.
That's the show.
Because I've had the conversation with your children.
That's what we talk about.
That's what we talk about.
Yeah. This show.
Because we're rock and roll, man.
That's right. All right. I'm going to add this story to entertainment news because things are kind of light in entertainment news. But Gorilla Glue Girl.
Oh,
that's the thing still?
It just took a whole other
did it?
A whole other level. Gorilla Glue Girl, she put the Gorilla Glue in her hair. She thought it was a hair product, and it was an interesting story. It's funny as hell. Her name is Tessica Brown, and she is releasing her very own song, remixing snippets from her original viral TikTok video with additional lyrics that she raps. The song is called My Hair.
Yeah. And from what I understand, the people behind some of Nicki Minaj's stuff helped produce.
No. They did not. They did not get in touch with her. They reached out to her.
Okay.
Nikki did not get back
Why
in touch with her.
Why would she seize on this opportunity?
Well, here's the deal. Nikki had mentioned her in a song. Gorilla Glue Girl in her song Fractions.
Which is one of my favorites.
And so they reached out to Nicki Minaj, and they have not heard back from her.
We should have an audio clip of Maher, if you're interested. Yeah,
we do not have that just yet.
Marissa can get to it. So TB's manager, TB is Tessica Brown. Yeah.
Those in the know.
Yeah, Gina Rodriguez says that Tessica recorded it in Hollywood last month, and the track was put together by independent music producer and engineer Phil Valley. Apparently, Tessica wrote this jam all by herself, and it is the first time that she's ever rapped.
Her and Tan Mom are going to do some Indigo Girls songs at the Bridge Benefit.
Oh, well, that's cool. Bridge. She can't go and try and be known as TB. Tessica is already fine, right? There's nobody else that I've ever heard of named Tessica.
I don't know if it's her doing that. This is just written in the story this way, and I was having a little fun with it.
All right, good. Because there's already two other TBs.
You don't disparage that name.
Yeah.
Who are the other TBs?
Terry Bradshaw and Tom Brady. Those are the only TBs.
Has Terry Bradshaw released a song about his hair?
It's called Not
No Hair.
No Hair.
Not My Hair.
Male pattern baldness.
Ain't got my hair.
You know, Terry Bradshaw is the one person that if you did a claymation figure of him, would look exactly like he looks in real life.
Right? Oh, my God.
All right, we're ready with the
All right,
song.
Here's My Hair. My Hair. Okay, that's enough.
What's it about?
Wait, I didn't get my headphones on yet. Play it again.
Okay. Yeah, here we go. My Hair. It don't move my hair.
Come on.
It don't move my hair.
You hear what I'm telling you?
It don't move my hair.
It's good. It's really good.
Hold on. Are we sure that this is it or this is one? Because it says there have been a lot of remixes that have been made over the past several months.
This is the official one that was
coming.
Yeah, that's what they said.
Okay.
All right. I don't know, though. I'm not well-versed in my hairness.
Well, she apparently raps on it, and I don't hear. This is all just samples.
It don't move. It don't move my hair. You hear what I'm telling you? It don't move. Almost went in a panic. When I ran out, I had a problem. Gorilla glue just to solve it. I went from silky to solid. Try to wash it with everything I could think of, but nothing was making progress. I was stopping what to do.
Mm. Okay.
It's great.
Listen, I've heard worse. So
he's entered the ranks of you so dumb.
Yeah. I don't want to say I listen to a lot of rap, but my son does, and as a result, I end up listening to a lot of rap.
You think he like this?
No.
You're so dumb.
It's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to get is, and I really, if you stop and think about it, it's a shame that the Call of the Wild movie was released when it was, because this would have fit perfectly on the soundtrack.
Yeah, Maher. All right. What else? Like I said, it was kind of a light day today.
It's all right.
Jonah Hill will be grateful for his next act.
Yes.
The Superbad star set to play Grateful Dead guitarist Jerry Garcia in a biopic directed by Martin Scorsese.
So for me, I think this is actually very good casting, but I think the one you'd have to go to ask, is this appropriate, would be Pierre Robert. So I'm curious as to what he would think of this.
Yeah. So Hill will be co-producing the film for Apple TV. The movie, which does not yet have a title, is being made with the permission of the band and the group's management, although the film will be Scorsese's first musical biopic. He has a history with the Dead, having been an executive producer in the 2017 documentary Long Strange Trip, and he's also done docs about George Harrison, Bob Dylan, and of course he did The Last Waltz,
which
about
is
the band.
One of the greatest concert movies ever made.
I did see a funny tweet about this. It says that, you know, Jonah Hill's going to play this, Martin Scorsese's going to direct, but Martin Hill still open it up with a Rolling Stones song. I'm okay with this casting. The thing about Jerry is that he was a gentle soul.
Yeah.
And I hope that Jonah can tap into that.
Think so.
And then I'm really interested to see who they pick for the other bandmates.
Who's playing McLovin?
McLovin. No, but one name that I saw out there for Weir would have been like Bill Hader. I'm like, okay, I like that one.
All right. How about Chris Hemsworth?
Could you imagine?
It'd be funny if he meets John Mayer as a baby.
Oh my God!
Here.
Case, did you ask Mickey Hart about Long Strange Trip when he was in studio?
I don't remember.
I think you did, and he hated it. If I'm remembering correctly,
really?
I think you brought it up in the interview, and he trashed it a little bit because he thought it was an inaccurate representation of the band.
But it's a documentaries.
Yeah, and
well, documentaries. It's a really long, in-depth documentary.
And you were raving about it, yeah. But I don't think he cared for it
it's
at
funny,
all.
Funny, because I never finished it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just so long, and then I had forgotten about it.
Look at, so here's a perfect example. We've been talking about Let It Be, the documentary film,
mm-hmm.
which paints an entirely different picture from what we're learning in the new Peter Jackson film.
Right, get back.
Of that same time period. So a documentary can have an angle to it.
Totally. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So Jonah Hill in that role should be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm excited, sort of.
Miramax is suing Quentin Tarantino over plans to release non-fungible tokens or NFTs based on Pulp Fiction.
This whole non-fungible tokens thing is like, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around it.
I know.
I mean, I can play with my Batman figures.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But can you play with a digital representation of that?
No.
Tarantino announced plans earlier this month to release 7 NFTs based on the film, including scenes from an early script that were cut from the final version. The NFTs will also contain Pulp Fiction art and commentary from Tarantino himself. Miramax says that it sent a cease and desist letter to the director after the announcement to no avail. The studio claims that it is in discussions about forging NFT partnerships based on its library of films and that Tarantino's agreement devalues those efforts.
I can see that. Let me ask you, because I was having this discussion the other day, and the answer I gave to the person sort of shocked him. Your favorite Tarantino film of all time?
It depends. I think the one that I get the most enjoyment out of is probably Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah. Okay.
Really?
I mean, Pulp Fiction is the one that was like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
And this is a whole different way of doing cinema.
I hear you.
Watching movies. And I think that one to me is most impactful. But the one I like going back to and watching and the scenes and I get a kick out of is probably Inglourious Basterds. And then this will surprise you. Probably my second favorite, Django Unchained.
Really?
I love that movie.
My first favorite of all time, of all the Quentin Tarantino. And this is what got the reaction, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I figured you'd say that. That movie.
Yeah, I'd probably put that in third for me.
Yeah.
But I really like...
Antonio Margheriti.
But I like Django a lot.
It's a good movie.
They're all good. I mean, he
Only The Hateful Eight.
I like The Hateful Eight. It's just, you know, listen, it's classic long take, conversation, Quentin Tarantino, but... he hasn't missed, right?
No,
he
hasn't there hasn't been a disaster.
Even Jackie Brown, is, I think.
Well, if you understand what Jackie Brown is, which is that homage to the out of the 70s, what they used to call blaxploitation films.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's tonally like spot on.
You know, it's funny. Nick Murphy will have a freaking heart attack when I say this because now that I know the movies and I've seen them enough times,
right?
There are really, like in Django, there are really long, sweeping musical moments, where they're just it's just a setup to the tone,
right.
of a transition maybe, and I can fast forward through those now because I know exactly. I don't have to deal with that now, and that's going to take about a half hour off the movie.
That would kill
me.
like in 2001, that monkey part in the beginning. I just
you know what happens. let's get to the dialogue. Let's get to the interaction, man.
Where are the pictures?
Yeah. All right. So they're trying to stop him from doing that. And then, let me see, one more thing. I thought this was kind of neat. LeVar Burton has found a new game show that he'd like to host. Burton has teamed up with 1E1 to develop a TV game show adaptation of the classic board game Trivial Pursuit.
Okay, so I enjoyed seeing him on Jeopardy, but I don't think he was very good as a host.
I think he was right for Jeopardy.
In the right show, I think he'd be really fun.
Yeah, he will host and executive produce the project via his LeVar Burton Entertainment banner. Comes after he hosted Jeopardy, of course. And no broadcaster is currently attached to this. Trivial Pursuit has become a television show before.
Yes.
A Freeform precursor, The Family Channel, ran a series hosted by Wink Martindale in 1993 that was loosely based on the game, while a syndicated version, Trivial Pursuit America Plays, ran in 2008 and 2009. But they're gonna make a run at this again.
We should send over a proposal to LeVar Burton to create a TV show based on Preston Elliott's rock trivia game that no one would play.
Yes! Please!
How did he do on Jeopardy?
He was serviceable.
Yeah.
I honestly feel he was nervous. And I think that because there was such a weight placed on the fan effort to get him on that hosting position.
And his own effort.
And his own effort. I just think it sort of overwhelmed him.
I agree.
I don't think he had the proper warmth that you want from a host of that show. Now, he was great on Reading Rainbow with that type of thing. But I just think this particular format doesn't suit his personality.
And I think what was happening is he was so concerned with servicing all of the mechanics of the show that part of him that you really wanted to see never really made it through.
Yeah.
And he should have won the visor.
It is. Wouldn't that be great? Or Geordie LaForge visor. It's Friday. That means there are movies to talk about. All right, we'll begin with this one. Ghostbusters Afterlife, comedy, fantasy with Paul Rudd, Finn Wolfhard, and Bill Murray, to name a few. When a single mother and her two children move to a new town, they soon discover that they have a connection to the original Ghostbusters and the secret legacy their grandfather left behind. It is 2 hours, 4 minutes long, rated PG-13. Released in theaters only, Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 63%.
Got this text message from Craig Ligons on Monday evening after he saw it. He says, saw Ghostbusters Afterlife last night. I can't say this word. Effing awesome. The greatest Easter egg hunt movie in movie history.
Wow.
Haven't cried at the end of a movie like this since Endgame. Grade A, two thumbs up.
Wow.
That's what
I would trust
says.
Craig's opinion.
I do.
All right, also opening this weekend is King Richard. It is a biography and drama. It stars Will Smith, John Bernthal, and Sania Sidney. The plot is, armed with a clear vision and a brazen 78-page plan, Richard Williams is determined to write his daughters, Venus and Serena, into history. Training on Compton, California's neglected tennis courts, rain or shine, the girls are shaped by their father's unyielding commitment and their mother's balanced perspective and keen intuition, defying the seemingly insurmountable odds and prevailing expectations laid before them. Wow.
Yeah.
Running time is 2 hours and 26 minutes long. Rated PG-13. In theaters and streaming today, 93% score so far.
Good score. You know, I wonder, again, in this case, with this guy and, say, Tiger Woods, his father. You can't argue with the results. But I wonder, you know...
At what cost?
Well, so you always heard negative things about Tiger Woods' dad, but I never heard it about Venus and Serena's father.
I don't know.
Or was it just never...
I haven't heard much about Venus and Serena's dad. This will be my first dive into that. Venus and Serena's.
Serena's.
Sorry, it was funny.
All right.
It's like Ert and Bernie.
No, it's Bernie and Ert.
Serena's is taking the court, playing against Bert.
What? It's Ert.
Correction, Ert.
But Vina is playing Bernie.
Vina is on court two.
With Bernie.
Mixed doubles. With a puppet.
Also opening this weekend is Tick, Tick, Boom, a musical biography, and it stars Andrew Garfield, Alexandra Shipp, and Bradley Whitford. An adaptation of the autobiographical music by Jonathan Larson, who revolutionized theater as the creator of Rent. And the film follows John, a young theater composer who's waiting tables at a New York City diner in 1990 while waiting what he hopes will be for the next great American musical. It's an hour and 55 minutes long. It's rated PG-13. It's in theaters and streaming today. And Rotten Tomatoes score is 86%, so that's a solid one, too.
First thing my daughter texted to me this morning, Dad, we are watching this tonight.
Yeah, you know what? It's probably something that we will watch as well this weekend.
I'm very, likewise, because I am a big fan of Rent. I know, Preston, it's your absolute favorite. Lin-Manuel Miranda, this is his directorial debut for
a
movie.
You're going to see Andrew Garfield like you've never seen him before.
In a Spider-Man costume.
No, we saw that before.
Oh, okay.
Hey, what streaming service? Anybody know?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I think Netflix.
Track that down. All right, we also have clips for you this morning.
So. Netflix, Preston.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
The magic of Encanto blessed every child in the Madrigal's family, except you can tell I read this cold. Except Maribel, who maybe the last hope to save magic power in Encanto. In this clip, director Byron Howard talks about why they chose Columbia as the movie setting.
I want to know that.
Things seem to kind of keep pointing back to Columbia, not only because it is this cross-section, this crossroads of culture and music and wonderful ethnicity and diversity, but also because it was the birthplace of magical realism. That kind of heightened storytelling to inspire Encanto in the way we're talking about this family and family roles. So it felt very organic.
Is there some of the, you know, just improv that you have been known, come to know as? So this is an animated film.
Yes. Actually, the coming attractions do look really good for this.
It's in theaters next Wednesday. You know, an animated movie we watched a few months ago that I had never seen before that I really, really liked was a movie called The Book of Life. Did you guys ever see that?
No, I didn't.
Wait, hang on. Is it? What's
it
the
takes
one?
Place in Mexico, and
it's not the one where the kid it goes into the afterlife.
No, that's Coco, but it's similar. Similar themes.
It is.
And I was really surprised at how much I really liked it, and I'd never heard of it. I mean, like, you pretty much know all the really great animated movies that come out, but this one I recommend if you haven't seen it yet. It's called The Book of Life.
Very nice.
Came out in
2014.
Yeah.
I
was not aware of that. No one made me aware of it.
I thought I made aware.
All right, let's do the next clip.
Hey!
Richard Williams is determined to write his two daughters into history by shaping their unyielding commitment and keen intuition in King Richard. And in this clip, Will Smith talks about why he took on the role of Richard Williams.
There was an interview that Venus was doing, and it's a famous interview where Richard Williams snaps on the reporter. And when the opportunity to be a part of this came up, that was the first thing that I remembered. I knew I wanted to show a father protecting a daughter like that.
Richard.
King Richard, the story of Venus and Serena is out today. And we have a screening of that, actually.
We do?
Are these
Fandango.
Fandango passes. Yeah. All right, cool. And also a $50 gift card from or for Venus Williams sports clothing brand 11. So let's take callers 7 and 8, and we'll set you up with those. 215-263-WMMR, and you will get a Fandango pass to see King Richard and that $50 gift card for 11. 11, which is Venus or Vina's sports clothing brand.
What is it again?
Vina and Serena's.
Yeah, it's Serena's favorite number, but...
But it's Vina's brand.
Yeah. Okay. Right,
and there you go. That's what I have in the entertainment report this morning. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. John Heffron, who's going to be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night, is going to be checking in with us. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR, celebrating 40 years of Pierre on the air.
From the day he arrived in Philly, Pierre Robert could always be found where the bands were. And whether it was a club, concert hall, arena, or stadium, he was present for the very best moments in Philly rock history. The tradition continues to this day at the Ardmore Music Hall with Pierre Presents.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WMMR, the Revivalists.
Ladies and gentlemen, Rival Sons.
A great pleasure to welcome back to Philly and to MMR, KG Elephant.
Ladies and gentlemen, J. Roddy Walston and the business.
Please welcome to WMMR, Nathaniel Rateliff and the Night Sweats.
Please welcome the Dropkick Murphys.
Oh, my God.
So it is from 93.3 WMMR. We ask you to welcome the Struts.
God bless Pierre Robert.
The tightest show in radio.
Congratulations from all of us at MMR.
It is Friday. We are looming upon a wonderful holiday next week of Thanksgiving, so I think we need to talk about food in the form of a connoisseur.
It's time to whip out your connoisseur. Mm. We're going to let off the hook today. You won't have to wear your hat.
Oh, thank you. I like the habit, just not over my headphones.
And gives you headaches.
So if you thought that the charcuterie board trend was on the way out, think again. For Thanksgiving, there's a new one. Pie boards.
So I saw this.
To take over.
To me, that's kind of like just a pie sampler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there is a certain thing with the cheese and, you know, meat charcuterie board, which is kind of what it really means to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Oh, I love the idea. But
it'd be huge, though, wouldn't it?
It's difficult. What's that?
You just do little.
Yeah, you do miniature ones.
Okay.
Yeah, you do miniature pies, little single-serving pies, and you make a whole ton of them. It'd be a pain in the butt as far as making those goes.
Yeah, right. This is just like a dessert spread.
Yeah. Yes, but, well, yeah, but I mean, you put it together. Do you normally do a dessert spread? Usually desserts are like one person brings a dessert. Sure. This is one person has created a whole pie board.
Yeah, it's a crap load of work. You're right.
Upon themselves.
I would do this, but just like pre-slice the pie into like tiny little slivers.
No, that's okay. Really,
yeah, like that's how I eat. That's how I eat pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving. I just keep cutting tiny little slivers.
You don't eat the whole pie at once.
Until I pretty much ate like two slices and haven't realized it. But like, it's really hard to do with an apple pie because you need like a good chunk of apple pie.
But like, it's all about the presentation, though. You know, right? So
I think that's what they're going for.
And so if you are going about presentation, then you need to have the smaller pies. I'm not doing that.
You know, I'll buy it. When Manna would come in here and bring the samples, like little cubes, basically, that they
they cut those up.
Right. Yeah. And so to me, that would make sense to do it that way.
Well, this is not what that is. So here's the deal. It says the very do-it-yourself dessert without being too overwhelming. It says to make one, just bake a few different kinds of cutely decorated miniature pies.
Oh, just do that.
And arrange them on a large board with bowls of whipped cream and caramel and fill out the presentation with apple slices and grapes.
And ranch dressing.
That's what they're saying is going to be kind of a new trend for Thanksgiving.
I agree with you, though. I think that's far more work. Though, no, lest we not forget, you baked your last charcuterie boards.
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you want, I mean, you know, if this is your thing, then that's what you're bringing to the party.
Yeah.
Then that's all you have to focus
Here's
on.
The deal. It's unnecessary, but if you're all about gramming your stuff, then go ahead and knock yourself out and do this.
So here's what I say, Case, to that. I say, I like the trend like Harvest does with the little desserts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a sampler of desserts, and that's almost in line with this.
But those are in cups,
right?
And
those are pies, basically, many of them,
right?
And so you have that. So I could see that. That's kind of that's an eye opener for people, but it does require an ass load of work.
Yeah, and you mentioned Manna, and today is the last day to order your Manna pies.
Yep.
So that's at mannapie.org.
All right.
Other things. How about this? How about some booze?
Okay.
Bird.
Now you're talking.
Bird of Courage.
Right, Steve? Woo! You left me hanging.
Bird of Courage is a roasted turkey-flavored whiskey. A small batch release from Tamworth Distilling, the New Hampshire distillery founded by Philadelphia marketing provocateur Stephen Grass. Or Grassy. I'm not sure how you say his name. Grass or Grassy or whatever his name is.
What's your name?
Who in 1989 launched the Center City ad agency, now called Quaker City Mercantile, has spent his recent years growing spirits-focused lifestyle brand Art in the Age. That's what it's called, Art in the Age. The rural New England distillery has developed a reputation for spinning out tiny batches of high-concept products. In 2018, they had beaver butt whiskey, and then they had a venison-flavored whiskey as well. So it's these novelty things to try and get you to purchase them.
Any interest on your side from
this? Well, a review. Marissa sent me this article. I'm not sure what publication it was from.
I think it was from Billy Penn.
Okay, well, the reviewer wrote that it's actually not something to be overlooked, that it's actually really, really good. And in fact, he or she said, there's a rich array of aroma, including hints of dried fruit. On the first taste, I caught a passing hint of what is meant to be turkey, farm-raised near the distillery, though there's only so much flavor that comes through at this high proof. But the roasted turkey label seems to be more marketing than a defining characteristic. The taste I found most present was cranberry, still subtle, but tangy and autumnal.
Will you sit down for a glass of whiskey now and then?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, quite. Very much so.
Preston, I want to take you to Art in the H. It's in Old City. It's right on 3rd Street. You would have a trip. Like, the first time I walked into that place, I was like, oh, if I need to buy Preston a gift, I'm buying it here. Like, they have all the little whiskey accessories, if you will. And it's just a great little cocktail bar. It's really cool.
Okay. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I would try this. I don't know if I would buy a bottle, but have you ever tried, Preston, the peanut butter whiskey?
No.
Oh, Screwball.
Screwball, yeah. And there's actually a few different varieties of it. And it's one of those things where you hear peanut butter and whiskey and you think that that's going to be gross. And then you try it and there's a weird little sweetness to it. It smells, when you open the bottle, like like you would think it would smell, peanut butter combined with whiskey. But believe it or not, it's like it's kind of there's something appealing about it.
Do you think you would prefer chunky whiskey or smooth?
I've always been a chunky
fan. Smooth, yeah.
I have sampled things that are like maple whiskey and apple and some of these other things and it's and honey. You know, it's really novelty to me. It kind of kills that whole bourbon whiskey taste that I'm looking for.
You try it and then you kind of move on.
Yeah. And like buying an entire bottle of something like that seems like a bit of a waste to me. Having a cocktail or something like that, sure, rock on. But getting a whole bottle of that, I'm like, it's not what I'm looking for.
Would they frown on you at the liquor store popping the cap off and taking a quick swig while you're ordering?
I've never tried it.
You know, or they should put out little spoons like they do at the ice cream place.
So, by the way, this is distilled with a mash bill of 81% corn, 12% rye, 7% malted barley. Just 500 bottles of the spirit were bottled at Kensington's New Liberty Distillery. So
I love that this whole culture is here from the spirits and the breweries and all that stuff that's, you know, it gives such character to the area.
Do you know, I just learned last night, you know Jaquins that makes like blueberry or blackberry flavored brandy? Like, if you see the label.
Oh, yeah.
It's in Kensington.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's been for like as long as it's been around.
Huh.
Yeah, it's made right here.
Yeah, it's a pretty iconic looking label. The word, you know, the name.
Yeah,
like you
it's
said.
Like a goldish label. Yeah. With
but
the
I'm looking for fine spirits.
Very much.
It don't matter.
So if you're looking for something to add,
I drink coolant
to the whole. If you're looking for something to add to the whole theme of Thanksgiving that is booze related, then you want to check out Bird of Courage.
Preston, that should be that sound and should be like Gary. That should be like the MTM or the MGM lion.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you get
the vanity card at the end.
Oh.
Sit, Ubu.
Oh, God.
Sit, Gary, sit.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let me see. What else I have in a connoisseur for you on a Friday? Right on the edge of Thanksgiving. I don't know if we'll have one next Wednesday or not, so I want to go ahead and get some of these Thanksgiving stories out into the open. So sales of canned cranberry sauce have increased 32% over the past 2 years. And last year, Instacart reports that it delivered so much cranberry sauce. This is the stuff in the can, okay?
Yeah.
That if you stacked the cans, it would equal almost 1,200 Statues of Liberty.
Jesus.
Wow. Instacart's
mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce. Woo!
Instacart's trends expert, Laurenita Remeniak, explains that there are different reasons why consumers may prefer canned cranberry sauce, including tradition, flavor, nostalgia, texture, convenience, or the fact that it can be served on a dish in the shape of a can, which adds an element of levity to the meal.
I'll tell you one thing that you realize, and like Marissa, you make some killer cranberry sauce. They really jack up the sweetness. They do something. Mm-hmm. I refuse.
Yeah, here you go. Yeah. So registered dietitian Whitney Linsmeyer notes that canned cranberry sauce tends to be high in added sugar, but also notes that Thanksgiving isn't the time to worry about eating too much sugar, saying, I say we'd eat whatever version you enjoy for Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
just go for it. You know,
all right.
It's your day to really have at it.
I feel like it's on the table. You buy the can because nobody actually eats it.
I don't know what you mean.
Like, it just kind of sits there. You put the can out and somebody kind of carves off a little piece of it. All I want to say is, make your own cranberry sauce this year. It is the easiest thing to make.
Oh, it is.
You would be surprised. All you have to do is put cranberries, let them boil with some brown sugar and some orange. It is so easy to make.
I agree. But she's saying that part of this, Marissa, is that it's an element of levity to the meal because it's in the shape of the can. It's just the thing that was done for years and years and years. People laugh.
See, they're laughing. They love it.
Yeah, so if you want a sense of levity.
Look at that!
Yeah, look at that thing.
Cranberry! It's funny.
All right, so, but apparently it's, in the past 2 years, it's gained, the sales have been going up in the past couple of years.
So we have two investment tips on the show, velour and cranberry sauce.
Yeah, go for it. All right, so Zippia I don't know what Zippia is, but they did some research and they found the Thanksgiving sides that are the favorite of each state.
I'm interested in this. Okay.
Here's the problem. Okay, so it was one of these things.
Oh, no.
Well, no. It was just one of those. It wasn't a clear list of all the states. You know, Nick, see if you can look this up.
I hate when they do this.
And find a better way to look at what states have their favorite side dishes. Because when you have these slideshows, it takes forever. And then Pennsylvania's way, way down on the list. It takes a long time. All right, he found it.
And also, like, Pennsylvania is like a, it's a weird state where, like, not everybody's the same. You know what I mean? Like,
it's a very large state.
It's a large state, and we live in this, like, metropolitan area in the southeast corner, and then you have all of these rural areas. Like, what state would you say out there is... What? What's so funny?
It's just a setup, right?
A setup, yeah.
What state is the entire population exactly the same?
Is mostly the same.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at like how big Texas is, right?
Listen, it's a smaller state, but just by, Preston's right, by sheer size, you're going to have a wider variation in your population, right?
Let's look at the size of Texas. And I would say...
Yeah! Look at the size of it.
Look at the size of that state! Yeah!
I'm sorry, we're talking about food, not people. Get it, Preston.
Okay. No, you have to finish. You have to finish.
Oh, I'm done.
Look at Texas.
I'm done.
Look at the size of Texas.
Look at the size of Texas. And I would say, if you go all the way up to the northwest corner of Texas, all the way down to the southeast corner of Texas... They're like probably
the same.
No, not at all.
Texas, there's a lot of variety. I mean, you know, if you're going along the Rio Grande, it's a lot more Hispanic.
Texarkana,
area. Right. So
what they're doing here, though, is they're saying what is the favorite percentage wise. They're not saying the entire state adores this particular side.
Right. No, I know that.
Right, yeah.
I'm aware. But we would think one thing here in this general area, but. You know, the people of Erie and Harrisburg and Pennsylvania and, you know, they would maybe
just use their hands when they eat.
Probably. Why are you making this so difficult for me?
I know what you're saying.
Maybe it's difficult for you. I think the overall question, though, is which state is the most homogenous, right? Is that what you're sort of asking?
Oh, what's homogenous mean?
Same. So let's ask you again, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
In other words, it's a good question. Any of these surveys, any of these things like this, Casey, it's fun to toy around with, but there's no hard and fast rule here.
Delaware is teeny tiny. Do you think everybody's the same there?
Yes.
Okay.
They like ambrosia and nothing but.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, here we go. So what would you guys think is the most loved side dish amongst the states? The
stuffing.
Anybody else?
Of all of the states?
Yeah. Like what?
Yeah.
How many states have, you know, the most in common as far as side dishes go?
Probably like, stuffing and mashed potatoes, right?
Okay. Mashed potatoes is the top.
Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce.
And it's actually kind of the least favorite on my plate.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. You haven't had my mashed potatoes.
Yes, I have.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. Last year, I had a Thanksgiving dinner with you and your whole family.
How do you make them?
With everything. So I'll put and it's all eyeballing it. You just throw in butter, obviously a little bit of milk. Sour cream cheese, Parmesan cheese.
Ooh. You get a full-bodied mashed potato out of that.
Little bit of...
you got to have that.
Garlic, salt, and pepper. And that's it. But as much cheesiness as you can put it, if you got some Asiago, throw it in there. If you got some Gruyere, put it in there. Just lots of good cheesy goodness.
What I don't like is, remember the way the elementary school would make mashed potatoes? It was basically like congealed steam. Mm. There was no taste. It was just a puff. Like, and they would use an ice cream scooper to put it on your plate.
Most likely. Well, you're right. Yeah. And a lot of times they use...
like a powder.
A mix. Yeah.
So, all right. So anyhow, by state, here we go. We got this printout. Thank you, Marissa.
This just in.
In Pennsylvania, stuffing is the favorite side.
Hey! That's my dream. I called it.
Yeah. In New Jersey, stuffed mushrooms.
Ooh.
Wait, I'm surprised stuffing because in like the middle of the state, they call stuffing dressing.
Yeah, but I think they're just...
It's all overall? Yeah. Got it.
Growing up as a kid, my mom and dad called it dressing as well.
And it's different. It's more like mashed potatoes.
No, it was exactly the same as stuffing.
Oh,
in fact, we'd get stovetop stuffing and call it dressing.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Okay.
But I don't know. It might be different elsewhere. In some stuffings are served like kind of dry. Like I remember when we were in Ireland, I got some there, and it was like sand.
Preston,
really.
My mother-in-law, God rest her soul, sweetheart, loved her to death. But they would all rave on this stuffing. You gotta have her stuffing.
Yeah.
And I sat down. I remember the first time, like, you know, it reminded me of that clip. You eat sand.
Right, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Is she Irish?
Yes.
Okay, there you go. That's probably what it is. Mm. All right, so also around our area in Delaware, it's a cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Mm.
Cauliflower.
Mashed potatoes!
It just says cauliflower mashed potatoes. I think it means mashed cauliflower, you know, which you
interesting.
Kind of
I'm down with that.
I've
had it.
Potatoes.
Boil them, mash them, and then I guess you can also stick them in a stool.
Yeah. These are all over the place.
Look at Montana. That's not a side to me. You see what that is?
Hang on a second here.
No.
Are you just challenging everyone to see if they can pick out Montana on this map?
No. Like rolls?
Turkey gravy is not a side. Turkey gravy is
I see that.
No, that is not a side. Who would say...
Just give me some turkey gravy.
Just give me some turkey gravy.
Right. It's a condiment.
That's like saying mayonnaise is a side.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
No.
What the hell? What's up, Montana?
I don't believe this list. I'm looking at these things. Baked potato in Oklahoma. Baked
potato?
Baked potato? No, I don't think so.
Get out.
Wisconsin is a charcuterie tray.
Well, yeah. Well, none of this stuff
they got to promote the cheese.
Kentucky and Tennessee are something I've not heard of before. A hash brown casserole.
Oh, Casey.
Oh. Something that was introduced to us last year and is going to be on our Thanksgiving
day. No kidding.
Hash brown casserole rocks.
Go ahead, Preston.
Introduced Casey to
that. Did you? Yeah.
It's fantastic.
All right. Is it a southern dish?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So hash browns, sour cream, cheddar cheese, corn flakes, I'm sorry, crunched up potato chips on top of it. And then, you know, you can flavor
Lucky Charms.
It with a few different things if you want to use, like, you know, garlic salt and stuff like that. You can do that. But
I will try this.
Looks like they're using potato chips in this one, Preston.
That's what I said. Yeah, crunched up potato chips.
Oh, wow.
Go on the top. It's kind of a crust.
Potatoes.
Gives it a crunchy texture, Steve. You would like that.
I would like that.
Yeah, so.
I'm a fan of crunch.
All right. Anyhow, what else I have here for you besides that?
I'm getting hungry. Connoisseur always makes me hungry.
All right, so this is a word pronunciation, and I bring this up because I mentioned something the other day on the air, and Casey kind of backed me up on it. But the nut, and I'm not going to say it, that is spelled P-E-C-A-N.
Right.
How do you pronounce it?
Pecan.
Everyone else?
Pecan.
Pecan.
You say pecan, pecan.
Pecan, yeah.
Pecan.
Pecan, I say pecan. All right, according to... ongoing online poll at YouGov revealed that the answer to the question, 51% say pecan, 37% say pecan, 8% have another pronunciation, I don't even know what it is, or 5% don't know.
And don't care.
I don't know. I've never heard of that.
Keep it an option.
That's
the can I pee in.
Yeah, so pecan is the one that most people say, but pecan is second on that list. So,
by the way,
I do like a really good pecan pie.
I was just going to say that. If it's made right, excellent. If it's not made right, well, I guess that could be a whole true fact of anything.
Yeah, that's true.
That's my go-to on Thanksgiving.
Oh, really? That's your end
not
of the
pumpkin.
Meal?
No, so I have a pumpkin and a pecan at the table. No, I have to have apple just because it's there. I hate apple pie. But
I love apple pie.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. But, and it wasn't until Mana came in and I tried it there. I was like, okay, this is kind of like my new favorite pie.
I love blueberry pie.
Ooh.
On Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Why not? Any kind of
pie. I'm just curious. Yeah. Some seem more appropriate for Thanksgiving.
Apple pie, I think, would be the classic.
Pumpkin. Like a coconut cream pie would not really fit.
Coconut cream pie.
With Thanksgiving.
Unless you love it.
Man, my mom used to make a chocolate pie.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't had a chocolate
pie. You had
pie
me at mom.
Since I was a kid. That was so damn tasty. I need to do that again.
Do you like a good Boston cream pie?
Yeah.
Do you know what I love? My wife hates, and I adore lemon meringue pie.
You love it?
Yes. She hates it.
I don't hate it. Same with key lime. Like, I can have some of it, but it gets old really quick to me.
I think the thing, though, is what is the icing or that they put on top that sort of very...
Meringue.
That's what I like.
On a lemon pie?
You can put meringue on a dead ferret.
Meringue's pretty damn tasty. You ever had baked Alaska?
Yes.
That's got meringue on it, too.
Yeah. And I had them. We were on a cruise to Alaska. Huh? And they, of course, I got to bring that.
All the sparklers and everything. Lighting it on fire.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. All right, one more thing from the connoisseur, and I think I'll go with this one. Now, even though this is not technically Thanksgiving, fruitcake is more for Christmas. So it's coming up.
But you probably need to be planning if you're going to be making it.
Well, or you could have planned a while ago, because Antarctic conservators say they recently came upon a specimen that tests the limits of the treat. A 106-year-old fruitcake was found in one of Antarctica's first buildings.
So the temperature obviously kept it.
Yes.
Would it endure the same way in a normal refrigerator?
I'm going to guess probably not.
Right.
I would think there'd be some mold or something like that. But this particular cake is believed to have been brought over in 1910 during the Terra Nova expedition of Robert Falcon Scott. According to the Antarctic Heritage Trust, it has been documented that Scott took this particular brand of cake with him at the time. The Huntley and Palmer's fruitcake was wrapped in paper and housed in a tin-plated iron alloy tin.
It's amazing.
Which is showing signs of deterioration. However, the cake itself is, quote, well-preserved, they said.
Now, when did... this was 1910. When was the Shackelford expedition? Remember that one where the ship was crushed in the ice? And they
I don't know what year that took place, yeah.
Because if they... when he was... if they walked right by this...
right.
I'm starving!
This was the first building in Antarctica, so I'm not sure. So according to the program manager, they said there was a very, very slight rancid butter smell to it. Mm. But other than that, the cake looked and smelled edible.
Mm, I smell rancid butter.
There is no doubt that the extreme cold in Antarctica has assisted its preservation. The century-old dessert was found with nearly 1,500 other artifacts from two huts at Cape Adare. That's apparently the oldest piece of
that's pretty amazing.
Food that they
pretty
found
amazing.
It's still, yeah.
There is a show that focuses in on discovered food, but the predominant amount of things they discover, though they're preserved, are not edible.
You guys care for fruitcake at all?
No. I don't like that sort of
spicy.
Don't like it. I don't like whatever the hell they put in the berries and all that crap. It's it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Shackleton was 9 years too early, Steve. He was there in 1901.
Could have gone better.
The fruitcake wasn't there yet.
Good news, fellas. I've discovered a house filled with cake.
They could have used the fruitcake to plug the hole in the ship.
That's true, yeah. Multi-use.
You ever watch any documentary or anything on Shackelford? It's an amazing thing that that they pulled off what they were able to pull off. He basically went across a huge part of Antarctica to get help for his men, and he said, I'm going to get you out of here, and he did.
I've heard the story, but I've never seen any presentations on
Kenneth it. Kenneth Branagh was in one, which was, obviously acted out, but it's an impressive story.
Nice.
And fruitcake could have saved the day.
Yeah, I've never had fruitcake. You had asked, and I was like, I just don't think I've ever had it.
Okay.
No. I know it's a punchline, and it's been a punchline for, my entire life, but I just, it's just never
been. It's also been raised, Casey, because of that, to like a it's now has a kitschy element to it.
Right.
So there are people who are gourmets who will savor it, and different people endeavor to make a better fruitcake.
We should do a show some morning of things I've never had before.
Yeah.
And try those out in a connoisseur segment.
But I could see, Steve, what you're saying. Like, you take a chef who takes this and, I don't know, like deep fries it or something like that. And then,
right.
Because when I was in Scottsdale, I had it was basically, all it was like cornbread. But it was like fried up, and they threw some ice cream on it. And
cornbread begins so calorically intensive, but if you're going to go for it, go for it.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's all I have in the connoisseur this morning.
And the connoisseur. Eat up, everybody.
Yeah. Want to take a break. We're going to have John Heffron on, who's going to be at Helium Comedy Club. He'll be joining us about 9 or so. We're going to come back. We're going to get the B-File. And can we get the froggy song today?
Oh, it's a yeah.
Froggy Friday.
Yeah.
It's a Froggy Friday. I want to do that. So it's a little Preston and Steve jingle they made for us. We'll come back in a second. Make sure you stay with us, all right?
If you like what you hear, you can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It's Friday, and I want my Froggy song.
Yeah.
I want my Friday Froggy song for the Preston and Steve Show, so let's play this. Here we go. The Camp Out for Hunger, Froggy, and our Preston and Steve Friday theme.
Oh, I love them. They're great. And the amount of people being turned on to them is just mind-blowing.
And Kevin Smith, yesterday or the day before, had tweeted out that he's looking for local and like basically unsigned musicians for the new Clerks soundtrack.
Did you contact him?
I quote tweeted at Froggy the band, you know, just saying, hey.
Well, hang on a second. By local, you mean local in the Philly area, or unsigned?
Unsigned, okay. And it wasn't necessarily local Philly area, but you know, because he had tweeted out basically to the entire country.
Case Pulsum,
dude, reach out to Kevin directly and tell him. Yeah. How cool would that be?
Just send him the video.
Yeah,
it'll speak for itself.
Oh, of 7-Eleven Nachos or
that,
with
or
us?
This song, any
both
of those?
Of
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can't remember exactly when he did, but yeah, I guess you're right. I should probably just
Help him out for sure.
We'll doing him a favor.
We need to do the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK. To get in on the action. Well, a 10-point buck sought sanctuary inside a Southern Michigan church on opening day of the state's firearm deer hunting season. Pastors at Grace Sturgis encountered the buck inside the church's auditorium on Monday before it let through a window and back out into the wild.
Did it take communion?
I didn't hear if it was a stained glass window or not, but it did go through the window. A video that the church posted on Facebook shows the buck wandering around the church. Pastors Amanda and Luke Eicher and Justin Wickey erected barricades in a hallway to try and keep the animal from the rest of the church. And at one point, it climbed the stairs to a balcony. Amanda Eicher said, "I was just shocked by how high it could jump. It was amazing how big he was." The buck didn't appear to have any gunshot wounds, but was bleeding just a bit from what appeared to be cuts from the glass.
Right, and it made it back out, though.
Besides the broken window, the only other damage was blood stains on the carpet. But, yeah, it went up on the balcony like it was tooling around the church.
Dipped its hoof into the holy water, Preston.
Yeah. A parolee was arrested on felony charges Friday morning after he was allegedly caught naked inside a pontoon boat on Lake Hamilton and had reportedly been stolen and vandalized. Preston Klein Leonard, a felon on parole, was taken into custody around 10 a.m. and charged with theft of property, punishable by up to 20 years in prison because it was over $25,000.
And the nakedness, explanation for that?
I don't know. The sheriff's deputy, Chandler Overton, was dispatched regarding a stolen boat and that had been recovered and arrived to find police on the scene. Officers told them that a naked man, later identified as Leonard, had been found on the boat upside down between the steering console and the captain's seat.
Ahoy!
The boat, a white Veranda pontoon boat, had reportedly been stolen from a residence. The owner later determined approximately $4,000 in damages had been sustained on the boat, including multiple seats being torn out and other seats ripped up. The owner stated that he checked his security camera after being contacted by sheriff's office and observed the boat had gone missing at approximately 4 a.m. No explanation as to why this dude was stark naked in the whole episode. Rukesh Sadai fell in love with a sex worker and stole more than $800,000 from his employer to pay off what he mistakenly believed was a hefty sum that she owed to dangerous criminals.
Oh, no. So he saved her.
He did.
He's a hero.
The 49-year-old faced the Victorian County Court, where he was sentenced to a total of 2 years and 4 months in prison. Sadai had pleaded guilty to four counts of obtaining financial advantage by deception after stealing $838,000 from CoinInvest, a construction payroll company. And the woman claimed that her family had been threatened after a large debt owed to criminals by her former housemate was lumped onto her when the friend left the country. Sadai gave all the money to the woman and received no direct financial benefit himself, the court was told, before eventually realizing she was gambling everything away.
I'm sure she gave him plenty of sex and love, correct?
I don't know.
Yeah.
The judge said while Sadai had good prospects of rehabilitation and was highly unlikely to ever reoffend, the scheme he had devised to cover his tracks required considerable care and planning. The routing was sophisticated enough, the judge said, to go undetected by the company for nearly 3 years.
Wow.
I mean, he was just draining them.
I'm trying to save this woman's life.
He paid $100,000 while his mother paid the company $500,000, and he is going to serve at least 1 year and 4 months in prison.
My son is an idiot.
A preliminary investigative report into a deadly plane crash in Wisconsin last month says that the pilot had called his sister-in-law about flying over her house prior to the crash.
Watch this.
It kind of was that, dude. So the victims were 29-year-old pilot Aaron Mika and his 21-year-old passenger Aaliyah Mika. The two were siblings. No one on the ground was injured in the crash. And according to the early NTSB investigative findings, the pilot called his sister-in-law about 5 minutes prior to the crash and was attempting an aerodynamic loop maneuver, but failed to pull up in time, dude, and crashed into the house. And it also hit terrain as well. The NTSB found that there was no evidence of any mechanical malfunction or failure at fault in the crash. But literally, it was, watch what we're going to do, and freaking crash and kill both of them. That's crazy, yeah. This is pretty bad. Police in Tucson, Arizona, deployed spike strips on Saturday to stop a high-speed chase on I-10, but they ended up disabling seven of the wrong vehicles in the process.
A woman says
that she and several other drivers hit the strips at highway speed and then struggled to pull over without crashing. They didn't learn until later that they were in the middle of a 31-mile police chase. And add insult to injury, the suspect kept going as they pulled over with their blown tires. Witnesses say that when all was said and done, there were seven cars disabled on the side of the highway. The woman said the police response was lacking and that they offered an apology. They called a tow truck, but she's out more than $700 for the tow and the two tires. Like, they haven't paid for it, and they're not offering up money for it.
That needs to happen.
You need to pay. Yeah, they need to pay for that, without question.
Sorry about your tires.
She's trying to get money back from the police. All right, and then one final story. A Raleigh man was charged with insurance fraud after officials say he faked an image to show that there was a hair in his McDonald's hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
Officials accused Ronnie Bernard Truesdale of planting a hair on the burger and removing the wrapper. Truesdale also said the burger caused him to become nauseated. He filed an insurance claim with Zurich North America, which is the insurer for McDonald's, for pain and suffering, as well as $1,500 in medical expenses. He was also charged with felony attempt to obtain property by false pretense.
So I wonder how often that old scam gets perpetrated these days.
Yeah, you can't do that. If you get caught doing that, you get in trouble. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we're going to take a break. Case, do I have more of those giveaways that you had a moment ago?
Yeah.
Or anything that you have to give away?
Well, let's do this one.
Okay. So we were talking about this earlier, the movie King Richard. We have Fandango passes to see the movie and a $50 gift card for Venus Williams' sports clothing brand, 11. Will Smith stars as Richard Williams in the film that shows how a family's unwavering resolve and unconditional belief ultimately delivers two of the world's greatest sports legends, Venus and Serena Williams. So we'll take callers 10 and 11 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will give you all of that stuff. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us because we won't be gone long. You know, we couldn't do the Camp Out for Hunger without all our sponsors.
They make it happen. We couldn't do it without them.
93.3 WMMR.
Highlighting our valued partners, the local businesses who donate products and services that help make Camp Out for Hunger happen.
Hi, this is Deb Chilea, and I'm calling from the Courtyard Marriott Philadelphia South, located in the Navy Yard, right next door to the Stadium District. We've been a proud supporter of the Camp Out for Hunger campaign for the past 9 years. We're the team that keeps Preston and Steve and gang clean and refreshed during Camp Out. Hot showers do wonders for keeping the camp clean. Or maybe that is cold showers after some of those bits they do. From our donations for rooms for the event to our community effort to collect food in the Navy Yard, we are all in for Camp Out. If you're looking for a place to stay or a place to grab a quick bite to eat or drink, the Navy Yard Courtyard is your place to be.
Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
Find out how you can make a difference at WMMR.com.
This message brought to you by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
I have a bit of an announcement to make. There's been a change in something. The Preston and Steve Christmas Miracle Party, which was initially set for Friday, December 17th, has had to move. It will no longer be on Friday, December 17th. It will be on Tuesday, December 21st. Not our fault. That's all I'm going to say. Not our idea, not our fault, someone else's fault. And so we have had to move. We wanted to have it on a Friday.
Yes, we did.
We're excited about having it on a Friday, but that's not going to happen anymore. But what is going to happen is we're going to get a giveaway a lot of great stuff. So this is going to be on Tuesday, December 21st. Don't call now because I'm not doing giveaways. But you can, however, go to an event, which is tonight at Saloon 151 in Westchester, 6 to 8 p.m. You stop by and you'll have your chance to win. And it's brought to you by Miller Lite because they're part of the celebration as we're doing the Miller Lite Ugly Sweater Edition at the Christmas Miracle broadcast. And keep in mind, you need to know our show.
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't know our show, you're not going to win anything because it is a trivia-based contest. We draw contestants from the audience, not unlike the Price is Right, and we bring them up, and then you need to be ready, and you need to know your Preston and Steve trivia. And if you don't, not only do you not win anything, but the audience is going to pounce on you because they tend to do that.
They do. All right. So know your stuff.
Oh, and also, we're not going to be in the 360 Lounge anymore. We're going to be in the Excite Center.
And it's also for Hanukkah. Bro.
So that, and we're doing it for Hanukkah instead of Christmas now. So it was a bit of a cluster F. But anyhow, it's going to be on Tuesday, December 21st. And we hope that you will join us.
That is Chuck's birthday.
His 50th birthday.
Aww. And it's the longest night of the year. So the winter solstice.
Amazing.
All right, so those things are coming.
He's like the baby Jesus.
Yes. He is, similar to it.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Casey brought this to our attention, and you found this quite compelling.
I did, as a matter of fact.
Is it all based off of this that I have here in front of me?
Yeah, so what it is, I think it started as a Reddit thread, and so the top thing was the post. The bottom thing is a response to that post.
Okay. So it says here, why no one takes my Sharpie. All right. So that's the caption, and the photo shows a Sharpie with a yellow cap on it, indicating that it is a yellow colored Sharpie. But when you take the cap off in the second photo, you'll see that it's a black Sharpie.
Uh-huh.
And it says in this isn't the caption. This is just a comment.
No. So the caption was, this is why nobody takes my Sharpie, because nobody uses a yellow Sharpie ever. So
unless
you're highlighting, but you know, a lot of people don't do that. So if you're thinking, man, I don't want anybody to take my Sharpie, you just take a black Sharpie, put a yellow lid on it, and then nobody's going to take it, and then that's going to be your Sharpie. Nobody's going to touch it. And then,
so the comment is, I work in an aerospace facility where you can only use black ink on any official paperwork. And I had a pen thief in the house, so I bought two packs of Pilot G2s, one colored, one, it says colored, and one black. So I guess it had, you know, whatever, it was a different color than black. Switched all of the ink cartridges up so that not only did I never have another black pen stolen, but the pen thief was found with pink ink on some controlled documents, and he wrote, suck it, Tim.
Yeah.
I guess Tim was the guy. So Casey brought this to our attention and was curious if there are any people who do some little hiding like that. And there's another example you had from Mayor of Easttown.
And it was brilliant. It was really brilliant. Mayor's mother. Jean Smart. Jean Smart. She had hid her Haagen-Dazs ice cream inside a bag of frozen vegetables.
Right. Yep. So she would pull out this bag of frozen vegetables, open it up, and inside was the Haagen-Dazs, and then she knew no one's going to touch it that way.
That was her. My wife, I found out the other night, so we keep a bag of chocolate chip morsels in the cabinet with all the stuff, the sugar and so on and so forth. And so we will go in there and I'll grab a couple as a little, if you want a little bit of sweet stuff, you know, after dinner or whatever. Now, she hid the chocolate-covered Belgian cookies behind that.
Okay.
So I'm like, that's the worst place.
Right.
Because I'm going, you know I'm going to go for the chocolate.
Right.
And so she goes, how did you discover my hiding place? She's like, because it was right behind what I would be going for the cookies for as well. So I discovered it immediately. You have to do the Haagen-Dazs in the mixed vegetables. Something that will be, oh, forget it, I'm not going there. I'm not going to take that.
If you stash something like this, call us 215-263-WMMR.
I need some good stash ideas. I used to hide things in we have a garage fridge, all right, and there's a freezer in there as well. And I used to hide things in the garage freezer. But now my kids know, right? So, like, if they go and they look, if they're looking for some sort, and it's a sweet, you know, I'll put, like, some sort of sweet in there. And if they check the regular freezer and then they're like, there's nothing in here, they will go in there. And
they know.
So now I need better ideas. And I think hiding things in maybe some frozen vegetables is a really good idea.
It was a long time ago. I think it might have been a Bud Light commercial. And it showed your techniques for hiding beer in the fridge if you're at a party.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I like this.
And it showed, like, seasoned veteran and, you know, like they had different tiers of who was good at hiding. I think the one who hit it the most was somebody who actually stuck it inside the cavity of a turkey, like a full-cooked turkey was in there. And so they'd see him going to the party and they'd reach out and grab his Bud Light.
That's great.
I'm pretty sure.
You know what I didn't, and my mom had revealed this to me not too long ago, but when we would go down the shore, we would always come back with a ton of fudge, right? And what my mom would say, my mom and dad would say, they would put the fudge into the freezer or the fridge, and they would say, this is a present for grandma, so you can't touch that. And it was never actually a present for grandma.
Hi, grandmom.
Right. So, or we didn't call her grandma. It was mom. But it was never actually.
Now, and help I didn't me pack grandmom's fudge.
I didn't. But I didn't know that. And my mom revealed this to me. I mean, within the last year, she revealed that. I'm like, that was never mama.
Listen, it's a game. You have to be very ninja like if you really want to be. You know, you got to those nefarious forces. You got to foil them.
Let's go to some calls. I have Brendan who's on the phone. Hey, Brendan. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, bud. You got something to share with us?
I decided to start teaching people a little bit of a lesson in, you know, touching other people's things.
Okay.
I work at a pet store in Roxboro, and we sell bully sticks. I don't know if anybody's familiar with what a bully stick is.
What is that?
It's a bull penis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, yes. Okay. I've seen them, yeah. Oh.
Yeah, it's a dog chew.
Yeah.
I would put one in one of my pen cups. And, you know, I had quite a few people come up to my desk and start filling with my things. And a couple people, like, grabbed that bully stick and, you know, pretended like it was a cigar. Is that kind of what they look like?
Oh, my God.
And I wouldn't tell them.
My God.
Until, they'd inquire, hey, what is this anyway? Yeah, that's a bulldog.
Oh, that's great.
See, there's something about office stuff if you're hiding your pens and all. Like, I don't want to say where I hide plastic forks in this office because little did I know the plastic forks are like gold.
They are a commodity here.
Oh, my God.
We have tons of knives.
You put them next to the bully stick, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks for the call, man. We'll see you later.
Swing by and get some of those.
We'll go next to Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Good morning.
Hey, Rach. So is there something that you would stash in a very unique way?
Yeah, so this is definitely an office environment thing as well, where, you know, you have a shared space. So it's a shared refrigerator. And I learned this after I was breastfeeding my daughter. I actually brought back her, after she was done with it, my little, you know, Medela cup. All the moms out there will know what it is.
Oh,
I just labeled it breast milk. And then I would put, like, my fancy half and half in it and then leave that in the fridge.
Excellent.
That's brilliant. Brilliant.
No one would take it, and they didn't. Because, you know, after a while, like every once in a while, you go in there, and it's like lower, lower, lower. So when I put breast milk on it, no one touched it.
That's one of the great problems of a communal fridge is if you have your special, maybe you have your French vanilla creamer or whatever.
Yep.
And then you go in, and it starts to incrementally disappear. But that breast milk container is pure genius.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
now, you should just do that. You guys should do
absolutely.
It.
I'll say that's my breast milk. That's
Steve's
my semen.
Breast milk.
I can't even get away with that anymore.
Thanks, person. Rachel. No, you don't have semen anymore.
I don't have semen.
All right, let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, my man. What's up?
Hey, how's it going? Not an office setting, but going over a border setting, I would hide contraband so that I wouldn't have to bring it through the border. Then on the way back, I would go pick it back up so I'd have something for the ride home.
So what we all right? So,
wait a minute.
In a Doritos bag.
Hang on a second. All right. So are you going into Canada or out of Canada?
Into Canada, you hide it. You stop it somewhere. Put it in a Doritos bag. Seal the top with like a lighter. Then
was this back before Canada. You could buy it in Canada?
But that's the whole thing. I live like hours away from there, so I would have nothing for the ride, and I didn't want to throw it away, so you hide it, and then on the way back, go back to that exit, that McDonald's, stop, pick it up, and then you're on your way.
So you would hide it, say, like, you know, under a dumpster or something?
Yep, a bush.
A bush. And then you'd go back and grab your pot in a Doritos bag.
I mean, listen, your plan is definitely flawed because you're leaving essentially litter under somewhere, and somebody could see a Dorito bag and want to throw it away.
Could take it, but nobody's going to go looking in a bush for trash. Never had an instance where it was gone.
You need your driving stash, Preston.
Never had an instance. Yeah. Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, man. Right, thanks, Brian.
I like sealing it back up with a lighter.
Yeah.
All right, here's a couple of texts coming in. This says, I hide ice cream sandwiches in the fish sticks box. Nobody likes fish in my house but me.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see. My uncle kept his cash in a watertight diving container and kept it in the tank behind the toilet.
I've heard that before.
Somebody just hide.
Is that just like a mafia thing?
Who are you hiding it from? Are people, your own family is stealing your money from you?
Well, those are people who like don't want to put it in the bank.
Yeah, but that's different than this. This is hiding it from, you know, somebody around the house who's going to have their hands on it. So I don't quite get that one. Let me go next to Haley. Hey, Haley, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Haley. What's happening?
So my husband and I were literally arguing about this last night because they're like Cadbury eggs, but they're for Christmas.
Okay.
And I have them. I hide them in all of my cabinets. We just had our kitchen redone, and he doesn't look at anything, so I can just stick them in some cabinet that he doesn't realize exists.
Right.
And he doesn't know about them, and then I'll come out with candy, and he'll be like, where did you get those?
and how many, on any given day, how many Cadbury-type eggs do you have stored around the kitchen?
Right now, there are three bags. And I just moved them. And he literally last night, he was like, where are you hiding them? I know you moved them.
Sometimes
he'll like, start indiscriminately looking in places where he thinks that they are. And I finally found another spot. So now, right now, and he doesn't listen to your show, which is a travesty. I have them hidden in a crock pot.
Well, you know what? Sometimes, and this speaks to something that I was going to ask, is there a benefit to hiding in plain sight for some of this stuff?
You know what? I've been thinking once I have an empty something where I have a thing where I like to throw everything away. And then I think about it later and I'm like, I could have used that. But yeah, that whole Gene Smart idea with the vegetable bag.
Right. Okay. All right. So, yeah, it's a good one. Really good.
It's one of the better ones I've seen. Thank you, Haley. Appreciate it. I'm trying to think what I would hide around nothing in the fridge that I can think of. I mean, stuff does get pilfered from time to time, but nobody's like a repeat offender and I have to hide it.
There's also the art of the pilferer, which is to, if you get into somebody's, my wife has come home with, it's sort of an unspoken rule that we can help ourselves. And, mm-hmm. We'll ask if it's something big, but they're French fries or whatever, and you eat a couple and then you move a few over to fill in.
Well, I've definitely done that.
To fill in the divot.
Especially if I'm the one picking it up on the way home.
Yeah.
And I'll dig through and grab a couple of waffle fries or something like that.
Then
you reposition them to make it look like it's totally full.
You feel like such a creep, but you can't help. I mean, how are you not going to grab a handful of fries on the way home?
God, the watered down booze that my dad must have
done. Oh, my God.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Especially with vodka.
Oh, clear. But I was stealing, I wasn't stealing vodka. I was stealing, like, bourbon and things like that.
Watered down?
Yeah. It was like the most lightly brewed tea.
Your dad must be thinking, God, I'm drinking so much, it has
my
no
tolerance
effect.
Is way high. Yeah. I need to back off the booze because I'm not getting a buzz on this anymore.
You don't really have to hide porn anymore, but that was an issue for a long stretch.
A
hiding place for the magazines or whatever.
For real.
Videos, VHS tapes.
I mean, and not only those, magazines, that was between the bed sheets.
Yeah.
Under my dad's mattress.
Yeah, that's where I first saw Playboys and so on and so forth. That was part of the deal. I'll tell you, going back to the pilfering of food, doing the ice cream where you kind of just shave off layers, mm-hmm. very small layers, whittle it down it's an optical illusion when you open up the top, say like it's vanilla, you can't quite tell how far down it's gone.
Completely different, but a version of that, Steve, is pretending when you were a kid like you ate some of something that your mom or dad wanted you to.
And you reposition it.
You move the peas around and it looks like there's a hole in the middle of the mound of peas. See, I had some in there.
I would literally...
When did that new valley occur on your plate?
Uh-huh. I would stuff my mouth full of food and then go into the bathroom and spit it out.
That's a good version of that. Yeah, okay.
Back to the porn. I was babysitting one day and I just... I was sitting on the couch. The kids had gone to bed and the cushions were a little like off, so I thought I'd be nice and reposition the couch. It was helping out. I found the dad's porn in the couch.
Was it babysitter porn?
No, it was just like a Victoria's Secret magazine or something like that, but it was hidden and I
I want to go to this call. Hi, Sarah, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Actually, it's Nick. It's Moth Sarah, the one that told you about the moth.
About the what? I'm sorry. Oh, the moths eating the tuxedos?
Oh, okay.
I got a moth lady.
All right. Oh, Sarah, lucky.
Yeah. All right.
So, I'm a dog walker, and my car has been broken in a few times. And I got the idea because I have a dog, and I decided to test the theory out that I leave my wallet and like money and change in a bag, in a prescription bag that's labeled fecal sample.
Fecal sample. Okay.
And I've even gone so far as just dip like a little corner of the bag in like watered down coffee so it looks like it's leaking.
I could leave
that thing with like my car running and the keys in the engine and the windows down. Nobody is touching a leaky fecal sample that's been sitting out in the car.
Let me ask you, so but you don't leave your wallet in the car, do you?
I mean, sometimes I do because I'm constantly going in and out of people's homes, and I have like poop bags and my timer and people's keys in my car that I sometimes drop my wallet. So it's really easier to kind of keep myself as light as possible, especially when you're handling like a dog.
Also, I think it sounds like there's a little part of you that gets off on foiling would-be robbers.
Oh, yeah, I'm a sneaky SOB. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, the poop bag is a good one, too. Could you combine them and put that poop bag in your freezer?
Yeah, it's not just that. Your prescriptions come in like a CVS bag or something like that. So that's actually what I've used. So it looks like it's
legit, not just a poop bag. But actually probably just put a poop bag on my...
I would think if you were leaving something that looked like pharmaceuticals in your car, you'd be inviting more attention, you know?
Right, but that's why I label it fecal sample.
Oh, all right.
But, you know, Sarah, you bring
fecal
up,
sample.
It's a good idea for anybody who, like, has to walk their dog in the city. Yeah. You don't feel safe, but you do have to have, like, your wallet and your money on you or whatever. I would just take one of the poop bags that you have with you, stick all of your important stuff in the poop bag, right? Yeah. And then you can walk. And, you know, if you get mugged or, you know, whatever, nobody's going to take the poop bag. And you say, I don't have any money on me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, keeping, like, because I have been, there's been, like, because, you know, now that it's night out and, like, it's, you know, it's 5 o'clock, I can't see anything walking the dog. I have been kind of followed a little bit. And I just, having a poop bag and letting that person know, hey, I have a poop bag and I'm not afraid
to use it. And I know how to use it.
I'm not afraid to use it.
All right. Thank you, Mob Sarah. Have a good weekend.
I got a poop bag.
A couple of texts. This one says, I have Halloween candy in my tampon box. another one says, let me see here. There was one. Oh, yeah. This one says, I have an ice dispenser in my freezer, and there's no reason to ever go into the freezer's. So there's no reason to go into the freezer's ice bucket. So meaning that you have an ice maker and also an ice bucket in there. And so they said, that's where I keep my chocolate bars.
Ooh. That's a smart move. Listen, a lot of times it's where are you hiding your candy?
One last story, and I'll go to Andy for this. Hi, Andy. Good morning.
Andy! Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, Andy. What's up?
So we have a stash where my girlfriend and I keep, you know, snacks so that the children can't get them. We have a coffee container.
Right.
And they don't drink coffee. the one day I went in there and I was like, oh my God, there's some cookies in here. So I grabbed one and I was like, oh, this is the worst cookie I've ever had. And I put the coffee container back. I didn't say anything about it. Later she came up to me and she said, did you steal my cookies? And I was like, what? First off, it's for both of us, so no, I didn't steal your cookies. And secondly, no, of course not. Why? And she said, because those are edibles. I got them, and I have to order them at exactly 12, and there's 11. Oh. So I wanted her to know that it wasn't a kid that got it.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, I did. But, yeah, so...
What was the reaction like? Were you, like, out of your mind? Or what was the physical response?
I mean... I actually didn't have it was pretty late at night, and I went to sleep afterwards.
Oh, okay. Wasted your buzz, dude.
But a great night's sleep.
Mm. I slept great. I slept, like, 10 hours without any disturbance.
That's great. I love it. All right. Thanks, Andy.
Appreciate it. Spot.
Well, there's an art to hiding things from either coworkers or family members, and sometimes a little camouflage is necessary.
Does not hurt.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So thank you for your calls and your texts. We appreciate them. Want to take a break because we have a guest coming up, our buddy John Heffron, who's going to be at Helium Comedy Club this weekend, starting tonight, will be joining us. We'll talk to him when we get back. Stay with us.
Acme Markets proudly supports Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. Your donations are needed to make this year's Camp Out a success and help families struggling with food insecurity. You can make a difference. Right now, visit your local Acme throughout November and make a donation at the register when you check out. Acme will ensure your generous gift goes to local hunger organizations like Philabundance to provide a lifeline for area families in need. Go to WMMR.com for complete details and a list of especially needed food items. Camp Out for Hunger from Acme Markets and 93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Our next guest is going to be in Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow night. He comes to us live from a hotel room with his brand new microphone.
Yeah. I'm
excited to hear it. Please welcome our friend John Heffron. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, my God. You sound...
I got so scared because as you were talking, it just all I saw was signs that just said default settings and it all. So I got scared. So it's nice to hear and see everybody.
Well, you know, we had conjectured earlier, knowing what we know about you and how you are able to survive any situation, that you might be using sort of a tactical version of Zoom. But it looks like it's just regular.
Yeah, you know what they need on Zoom? Because obviously over everything that, you know, everyone went through over the last 2 years, you use Zoom more.
Yeah.
And here's what's a weird thing. like those pre-roll, if you're watching like a football game, like a college football game or something, when they introduce like the linebacker or the quarterback.
Right.
It's always them standing holding a football and they're looking down and then they look up at the camera.
Dramatically.
They do something like that.
Yeah.
That's what happens. There needs to be a pre-recorded thing for Zoom meetings where
I love that.
You doing something cool, and they go, and Harold Stevenson from accounting, and he looks down, and then he looks at the camera.
You're right. It's so anticlimactic. Yeah.
Yeah, it needs, or if you're like, hey, guys, I got to leave the meeting, it's always a weird thing because then you have to, like, reach and you got to click and you got to see how do you turn off the Zoom. It's just not cool. So it'd be cool if there was, like, a trapdoor effect where I just look at you guys. I'm like, thanks for the interview, and I go like that. Then I literally drop out of the frame.
Dude, these are winners.
Yeah, like an explosion happens or there's, like, a Star Trek beam, something that ends it. So the last meeting, you don't see palms of me trying to turn off.
That's a good idea. I like, because, you know, when you, like you talk about the NFL thing, when you play certain video games and you get to choose your characters, as you're scrolling through the character, it has a little animation of them. They're sitting down there, like, looking at their weapon, kind of looking around this.
Right,
and that.
Right, yeah,
It'd be great to have, like, a loop of someone doing that.
Putting together your squad.
Yes, I love that. Or I was thinking, like, because during the pandemic, I didn't do a lot of them, but I had to do a couple Zoom corporate comedy shows.
Right.
Right, which were soul-sucking.
He speaks the truth.
Yeah, it was strictly like, well, at least I, you know, can make money to eat this. But there were some that were so bad that I was like, how do I get out of this? Like,
right.
I just want to bail.
Yeah.
So, another thing I thought of, I wish there was some type of pedal that, like, when you hit it and then you started max headrooming it, or like I'm doing you guys, the video just stops or
glitch.
Yeah. My internet connection is bad.
So you could force a bad, like a frozen, even, man, you can pick a time, okay, it's the tech. Sorry, guys, the tech is screwing up and I've got to leave. These are all winners. And I don't know, I hope you're going to seize upon them and at least get something going, because I love the introduction, the pre-video.
Would be fun, because I did some corporate events where they were just like, well, can you put a napkin over your camera? And then when we introduce you, you just take off your napkin.
Oh,
that
God.
That way we know you're on the feed. And I'm like, yeah, that's just, you know. That's just
it's awesome. Not going to work.
I did a thing. I'll share this. So I did one Zoom comedy thing, which was just horrible. Horrible. And so I have, like, this little soundboard thing for my podcast I do. And I went and I got isolated giggles, not laughter, kind of like somebody, like, giggling.
Yeah.
And while I'm talking to the people, I was hitting those sound effects. Like, you heard people chuckling during the whole Zoom meeting.
Nobody
was laughing, because I'm literally performing in front of a bunch of microphones with red lines slashed through them.
Yeah.
You know, like, nobody's, or you see no cameras. So anyway, so I brought my setup. It's great to see you guys. I read on Twitter, you guys posted the one dish you wouldn't, you'd have at Thanksgiving.
Right.
Right. Did you guys talk about that earlier, or were you going?
We were talking about some Thanksgiving food. Yeah.
We were talking about the our favorite dishes from around the country and each state's favorite side
dish.
So I wrote on Twitter, if you could only have one dish with your turkey, what would it be?
Okay.
Yes. I would just want to make a point. I don't know if, I guess this Thanksgiving's kind of different because people can get together for Thanksgiving, which some people are like, I kind of wish that the Delta Comfort virus would happen more. I don't want to go. Anybody making Jell-O with fruit in it, you need to stop right now. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's disgusting. Like, some food, if I look at it, I get almost nauseous. And for some reason, anything in Jell-O.
Well, the thing with Jell-O, too, is that a lot of the Jell-O flavors are fruit flavors. So when you put real fruit in artificial fruit, it seems scientifically incorrect.
Okay, let me ask you this, because when I see that as well, I have a bizarre thought that pops in my mind, John. And it's seeing that fruit in almost suspended animation. In that, it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, it was like a Stallone in Demolition Man in that frozen, you know, thing. And so it just looks so unnatural to me.
So now you just gave me an awesome. Well, however, maybe I would change it because I was thinking while you're saying that, what, you know, what suspended guy? And I immediately went to Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back when he's floating in that tub after he gets beat up really bad.
Right, right. When he gets, yeah, when he gets mauled.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's really cold.
So, so like if you had Luke Skywalker's floating in Jello,
all right,
that might be a whole different
issue. I love that.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
But, and then, and that would be more appealing to you then, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
The fruit is gross.
I agree. What are your Thanksgiving plans? Speaking of that, and side dishes and so on and so forth. So you are getting to tour a bit now, which is really good. And obviously, there's got to be.
Oh my gosh! I haven't spoken to you guys in a few years. So we know we went through my divorce, and then 2 weeks ago, I got engaged.
I heard about that. Congratulations.
That's awesome.
She's a stunner, by the way, dude. Congratulations.
Oh, you see the Instagram?
Yeah, she's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, so then, So this Thanksgiving, so last Thanksgiving, I had a microwave turkey alone in a farmhouse in Michigan during COVID. This year, I'm with this,
Well, let me ask you. So is she down? Because I like your tactical, always prepared style of living. Is she down with the compound mindset, or are you going to have to open up and embrace humanity now?
Oh, so during COVID, we had the date because we were in Michigan, which was on complete lockdown. That's why when I was traveling during COVID, I would go to these other cities and you would see all these people like in Florida and Texas and Phoenix. And you're like, do you not have cable? Do you not know that there's this corona thing? And it felt like if you had strict parents, right, and you got to stay the night at somebody's house for the weekend whose parents were getting a divorce, you know, and you're just like, you're allowed to have sugar? This, like, at 10, this place is amazing, right? So when I met her, Corona was happening. You couldn't go out on dates.
Right.
There were no restaurants, like, open. There were no bars you could go to. She's respectable. So she was like, I'm not going back to your place, psycho, and you're not coming to mine until I get to know you. So
right.
There was this in-between phase of literally what do you do?
Can I jump in here just quickly and find out? So then how did you meet her initially?
That we met through an app.
Okay.
That was...
All right.
You know, and I'm in the middle of nowhere in Michigan, so I was expanding that Bumble reach for as far as I could. You know what
okay.
I mean? I was sending postcards to women in Italy. There's no way to reach anybody, you know?
So you start dating, or at least you're trying to figure out how to date in a lockdown situation.
So I have it in my Jeep, and so I bought these trays that go in your cup holder, right? So you can literally almost put a bunch of food that go in your cup holder, and it's like a tray. And keep in mind, it's in Michigan, so a couple nights it's 6 degrees, maybe 7, 8. So we would go and get food as a takeout. Then I would park in the back of a bowling alley that had construction trucks. So I would pull in there almost every night. Nobody was ever there. And I put a music list on my Spotify. And then this sounds dirtier than it is, but we would literally have back in my Jeep dates. So I'd have the trays of food. We even made charcuterie boards one night. Went to the gas station, bought booze, and I had a whole thing set up. So then we were spending so much time in this Jeep, I went to CVS or something, and bought a big Tupperware bin, and I put almost anything in it you could possibly need, right? Like any type of Tylenol, any type of napkin, any type of Taco Bell sauce, Arby's sauce. It was a whole thing, and the running joke was how much stuff I had in this Jeep and how I could almost come up with almost anything.
So you had sort of like a cross between a dating kit and a bug out kit, like ready to go.
100% in that Jeep. I had almost, everything in that Jeep.
Wow.
I had an extra jacket. I bought like at Costco for like a vest. Because, you know, she's like, it's freezing. But then, the Jeep gets warm enough where you, like, you take off your winter stuff, but you're still cold. Yeah, I had everything. So she,
And so you're to the point now where obviously you finally eventually got to meet, you foster the relationship and you're engaged and this is all good. Was that a tough hill to climb for you? You know, because it you've been unlucky in love before, as you said. Was it?
Yeah,
was it,
you know what's weird is I was telling somebody, I'm surprisingly not worried about it. Like, I don't know if you know, if you've divorced once, if you're like, yeah, I've been through it.
Yeah.
You know, now I know how to do the next one. I might not be so detail oriented in the divorce papers. I might just fly through it. I think I was trying to be a, you know, A-plus student last time. This one I'll get by in a C-. Yeah, kind of. I was telling somebody, I'm like, should I be more worried? They're like, or you just come, you know, we dated for a year. And some people go, well, that's fast. I'm like, I'm 52. Well, you know, here's the deal. I'm not getting better looking. I'm not getting healthier. And I'm almost probably in 4 years, I'm going to be looking, you know, probably on, you know, at pamphlets and stuff for caregivers. So I might as well.
Yeah. Right? Because so you're that's checking the weird thing,
because like when I would introduce her to people, you go, this is my girlfriend. But that sounds weird if you were married for a long time before. Just saying that word sounds weird.
Right.
And then you're like, here's my girl. Like, so you don't know what to say. So
yeah.
It's kind of, and then eventually it will be caregiver. So it's like, eh.
All right. What's the age difference if she's going to be your caregiver one day?
Well, no, but I'm saying if I didn't find like a wife.
Oh, if you didn't. Oh, okay.
I thought you meant she. Have,
yeah.
How old is she, if we may ask?
My age.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you.
My exact age. She has 5 adult children. I should probably, I refer to them as number 1 through 5. I should probably start memorizing names.
Is that kind of weird to have, you immediately have 5 adult people in your life that, you know, that are.
Well, yeah, because they live all over the world. It's weird because you're not, even though I always considered myself this, you know, that I'll always be referred to as my mom's husband.
Right.
Right. Like no one's ever, adult kids aren't calling me stepdad.
Right. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's they're 25. I don't think after we get married, I'm going to get, hey, can you Venmo me $20? I'm going through Taco Bell. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. So,
but you're, I think anyway, you're free of scorn or anything because you the same age, you know, the same.
No kids.
Right. There you go. That's pretty lock and key.
Let me ask you for wedding plans. So, you know, second time around, she's got adult kids, blah, blah, blah. Is it going to be a big deal as far as the wedding ceremony goes?
It's so what happened was we were going to courthouse it.
Mm.
We just, courthouse it.
Sure.
And not have a long engagement. Because, again, what's the point? I'm not going to make wedding plans for a year. I'd pull it off in a week. So we're doing one of those micro weddings where it's literally 20 people. My buddy got ordained. And then we go to this cool spot and then back to the house.
To be honest, when I got married, we did a, basically that. We went down, my wife had some family in Puerto Rico, and we went down and had like 20 people, and it was great. And you know, what you save on, you know, doing, besides you've already been to it once, you don't want to do the big extravaganza again, right?
No, it's weird. But I did buy this thing though for the little soiree. There's you ever buy something where you just don't know if you should keep it or not? So I got this thing online and it just came to my house last week and I set it up. It's called a barista. And it's this machine that I just kept trying to figure out, do I want to get it or not? And it basically without, you know, showing you visual aids, it looks like I can't say the word because my bell's palsy, but what are those Kruger K-Cups machines?
Oh, Keurig.
Right?
Yeah, Keurig. Yeah.
Keurig. Yeah, so it looks exactly like a Keurig, but you have 4 big, like, water bottles on both sides. That one you put bourbon, one you put vodka, one you put tequila, one. And then you get these K-Cups.
You know, I
want a Manhattan. I want a Long Island iced tea.
Really?
You stick the K-Cup in the container, and you close it. And then a thing pops up. It says, put in a highball glass. And then do you want a mocktail, a strong, medium, or whatever?
Like
the 3 versions. You can make
strong.
And then you hit the button, and then it makes you the drink. And I think it made a margarita for me in maybe 10 seconds. But it does a perfect pour. And it's a barista. The people who see a video of it are seeing
I've seen this on like Instagram or something like that. I have seen this before.
Let me ask you this though, John. So I'm a little skeptical of that. I would have to try it first, you know, and see before I would buy something like that because, you know, and I assume that the mix is like a powder, and there's got to be some liquid that goes in and
create... liquid in the mix.
There's liquid, the liquid in itself,
the mix. The mix is liquid, and then there's a huge container in the back where you can put club soda or water, and then after every drink, it self-cleans.
Okay. All right. So
that's wild.
That's interesting. So there's got to be some mixing involved, because otherwise, why not just tear open the pouch and mix it in with a little bit of the booze, and there you go.
No,
you
it's liquid. It mixes it perfect. So you know what I was telling somebody? I'm like, it's like a fondue maker, probably, or that chocolate, you know, fountain
chocolate fountain you never use. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've made enough drinks with this thing so far. You're not pouring shots, so you're not spilling anything.
Right.
You know, there's one little, but here's where I wish I could take, I can't steal that idea. There's right. That's too big of an idea, but I feel that they could combine two things here. I was sitting just having a margarita by it, right? I'm just sitting on, like, I got bar stools, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm trying to figure out what I want to put up on the certain wall. And then I'm like, I need to combine Alexa with the
barista
drink maker and make a full bartender that can give you information and you can talk about your problems with.
Okay. Like, and make you a cocktail at the same time.
Like, if you had an AI with that thing, as I'm drinking, I could be like, so I'm 52. What are career changes most 52 make? You know, like, get info. Or it could talk to you.
Yeah.
And then I think that would be almost the perfect.
Did you see the movie Passengers? It's a science fiction movie. There is the one thing that is sort of meant to, mimic a human is a bartender, and it mixes drinks, and it does it's designed to exactly do that, to give you some counsel as you sit there and talk to it.
They just got to blend it because they already have the two things.
Let me ask you, once you got this device, did your alcohol consumption go crazy as you were testing different drinks?
No, you know what? It's no, because prior to COVID, right, like... That's what I'm noticing at comedy club, is just speaking of, like, drinking.
Right.
There's a woman that was complaining about her booze, her drink, to the server. And I'm like, can you stop yelling at servers? Like, that's a thing now. People like to. There's literally signs in restaurants that say, can you not be terrible to our servers?
Yeah.
Drinks are made how they're supposed to be made at a bar. Just everybody's been self-pouring for 2 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
It's so heavy-handed.
Like, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, my God. Your baseline is so out of whack right now.
John, that's brilliant.
You hit the nail on the head, man.
I joke and I go, most drinks are made at a two-second pour. I was up to a six glug. Like, I was up to a six glug pour.
Count the glugs.
And my booze came in wood cases and glass and straw, like when I bought Booker's or bought, bourbon. At the end, mine booze had handles on it.
That's so drinking.
That is so sharp to consider that, because you're right. Everyone's pouring. It's their own stuff. They're pouring to their exact taste, not realizing. And then, of course, places might water down the booze here and there, and you've got that going on, and they don't know why it doesn't seem right.
But you are right about this thing, because, like, I redid my basement and I made this, and I bet you I had Uptown. I don't even know what's in that drink. I just walked by and I was like doing stuff. I'm like, well, I might as well just make a drink. And because all you're doing is putting a cup in a thing and not picking out bottles, and there's some disconnect where you don't feel like you're boozing at 3 o'clock when you don't physically touch a bottle. Right? There's a part of you're not responsible.
Right, right.
Because, yeah.
That makes total sense.
Uptown is a perfect cleaning drink. It's an elegant floral and sweet gin drink with a mix of peach, white grape, lemon juices with a graceful cilantro kick.
Is this one of the drinks that's available for this particular
that's one
device?
Of the drinks. So I'm not making that. Like, I'm not in it.
Let me ask you, what does your future wife think of the machine? Or is that why she's marrying you?
It was one of those things. I think that was our first money discussion, even though it's mine. But that was one of the first things where I'm like, I'm thinking about getting this. Should I get it or not? And then she's like, do we need it? And then it got weird. I'm like, well, it's my money. If I want it, I'm getting it.
The one divorced person here.
Yeah. You know.
I might also get... Yeah, I might also get an Oculus headset and this stuff. So I just use, you know, you had some credit card points. I'm like, all right, this is a dumb little toy. But she was kind of against it. So when I got it and I made her the drink, she was like, oh, that's actually really good. I'm like, yeah. And there's no. So then I had a show last night, and then when I called her, she's like, oh, yeah, I walked by, and that thing makes great Cosmos. We need Cosmos, you know, Cosmo glass.
Oh, you converted her. That's great.
I'm like, here we go. But, yeah, you know, they're a little pricey, but it's fun. So the answer, that was a long-winded version of, we're just doing, a short version of the thing because
a small wedding and everything. So and
but those get you though, because even the small weddings when you're like, oh, this would be super cheap. Boy, it's like things add up. So.
Yeah, they do.
But now that we know that for a gift for your wedding, we can get you those little K-cups for your booze machine.
You can get the K-cups 100%. Angie's getting used. I haven't talked to you guys in almost 2 years.
No, I think we might have done one. I don't remember. Well, if it is, my mind is blown because last time we talked to you, you'd moved into your compound. You had cameras down by like the mailbox and everything, and like you were treating it like a high security system. That was the big deal.
Yeah, and it's been I'm losing the fight because when you live in the house was built in 1820 or 1840, right. You know, because why would I want consistent temperature in every room?
Right.
And I've being on just those acres and just in the middle of nowhere, I just realized just what a fight for an animal not to bite you it is. And I can't imagine living like in just the wilderness. Cause when I go to my trash can to pull it up the driveway, I'm constantly looking at random stuff that's probably at the trash can that's going to jump out.
What kind of wildlife is in your,
well, I've been playing a game for the last 3 months called Guess What Animal's in the Wall.
I've played that game before.
Yeah, and, you know, I had a wrong perspective of animals. Like, some animals have better PR. Like, I always thought possums were scary-looking and gross-looking. I still kind of think they do, but then you realize how good possums are. Actually, they do a lot of good around the house.
They do.
They eat a lot of ticks.
Yep.
They kind of deal with a lot of stuff you don't feel. Mice, you don't feel like dealing with. Chipmunks are kind of tools. Yeah. I got to say, like chipmunks bust in your house and have, you know, illegal bowling tournaments in your walls. And it's kind of mad.
There's nothing like, and Preston talked about this, about like if a hamster gets out and gets into the wall and you're just sitting there and then, you know, it's quiet and you'll hear.
Oh, yeah. We used to see that all the time.
Yeah.
It's maddening because there are a couple nights where it just starts to get scary. If your head gets in a bad place, you just now think they're killer chipmunks or whatever, and they're just trying to get through the walls, and they're almost because the house is so old. It's weird. Every time the furnace goes off, I literally think somebody is bombing the house. Like there's like a ship, and the ship is shooting cannonballs at the house. And
is it a big house? Because I have mine is an 1880. It's an older house. But when you know, and we have the radiators, which I love, the big, you know, metallic. I mean, it's awesome. But when they start to kick on, you start to hear the water. You know, and
there's everything. Like so, the house is, I don't know how many square. 2000 maybe, but every room is little because people just had littler rooms back then.
So and they were little.
And my stairs going up or down, I swear those things at the bottom are at 85% thing. They're almost straight up. When you go up to go down the stairs, you have to walk like Charlie Chaplin. You have to put your heels together and go down because the steps themselves are so small.
It's like a ramp, you're saying.
Yeah. And if you have like a 6 glug glug night of drinking, I've fallen down those steps, but you don't tumble. You do this really weird, like you're going on one of those water slides where you have to hold your arms at your chest and you slide because you don't fall. You just fall. You slide quickly, but you land on your feet because it's so steep.
That's hilarious.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah. And it is easy to slip down those stairs, man.
I've done it in my feet. This house is awesome, but you know, I guess it sucks when you get to a certain age where I'm like, okay, this is the last time I'm moving. And then you go, yeah, I can only handle those stairs probably for another 2 years.
You know? Or well, I'm going to They actually,
I never go upstairs and the chipmunks take over.
Yeah. So we have multiple flights of steps in the house, you know, that, and it's a workout. But in the general area of like Philadelphia, years ago, there was a width of stair that became illegal, and that they have to, like, we had to redo our side steps because of that very reason. People were dying.
Yeah, it's my steps. Are like if you have a Peloton bike, you know, the room you have for the tips of your shoes. That's about as big as my stairs are. And walking. If you have a clothes basket, you're going up or down. You have to use the force. You have no vision. You're just like, I hope this works out for me.
Man, hilarious. We're glad you're safe in spite of all that. Just want to give people a heads up that John is going to be at Helium Comedy Club. Got a show tonight, two shows tonight and tomorrow night, 7:30 and 10 p.m. And you can get the tickets at heliumcomedy.com. Dude, it's always great to catch up with you. We're glad you're in Philadelphia. And next time, hopefully, here in person. You wanted to add something, Marissa?
I was going to give John a tip, a trick. So if you hit either Command-V if you're on a Mac or Alt-V, it'll end your video. So you can magically disappear from our interview once we're done.
You have to put your hands up there.
You know what? That sounds mean, but I want like old like freight car. I want a lever. I want it to be dramatic where I'm like, see you suckers. And I just pull like I'm trying to stop the train car with brakes or something.
I like that.
We'll keep an eye out for it.
Congratulations, by the way, too, on your...
Yeah, thank you, guys. That's great. Thank you, John Heffron, guys. Helium Comedy Club. Wait a second. You know what?
What?
Oh, shoot. Well, I hit a wrong button. I'm sorry about that. But here's a text from somebody that says, John is one of my favorite guests that you guys ever have on. He is so real.
He is.
And that's it. He's just
he's a great guy.
He's just kind of a hangout and talk and a very funny version of that. So it was really cool to have him on. We got a couple more minutes and some things that I wanted to make sure that I get out before the week is up. So I know we did a junk drawer yesterday, right?
That doesn't matter.
Well, we could...
listen, man, you're
the
pilot.
Open up the store, I guess, if you want to.
Oh, how about a junk drawer in the store?
A stroll down the aisles and see what odds and ends we have at the general store.
Time to go to the general store for a quick little peruse around what's on the show these days.
Yeah,
Preston Elliott. His bird is hanging out.
Wait.
Hey.
Excuse me.
Zip up.
So speaking of stores, if you've ever gotten lost in a grocery store, researchers think that they are close to knowing why. University of Arizona researchers found that the brain may treat similar environments as if they are even more different than a pair of environments that have nothing in common. I don't know what that means.
So they're more likely to be confused by something that is the same or familiar than perhaps things that are less familiar and less similar.
Researchers have long struggled to
learn. I think I just repeated what you said.
How the brain remembers spatial environments, especially those that are similar. The experts' findings suggest this is how our brains walk a fine line between learning new information while not using limited brain power to relearn similar processes or experiences that occur every day. I know that when I go into any grocery store, one, you know, maybe in a different town or somewhere, right, and you're stopping off at a store you don't normally go
Everyone
to.
Everyone flocks around because a celebrity has shown up.
Right, it happens. No, but there are similarities to other stores and the layouts of grocery stores. When you start to see, like, dog food and cat food, you know that just around the corner is probably paper plates and paper towels.
So you're at the end of the food range because now we're feeding animals.
So
then the next step over is going to be house cleansers.
Cleaning products,
right, stuff
and
like that.
So on.
Yeah. And you're right. The way stores are clustered, and there is an absolute rhyme and reason to it, and there's an absolute exchanging of cash for consideration on end of aisle placement. But, like, for example, though, sometimes you get a monkey wrench thrown at you. Now, I shop at Acme, and Acme is laid out exactly the way I like it. It makes very much intuitive sense. There was one time, though, where I was looking for pine nuts.
Oh.
And I'm like, pine nuts? They got every kind of nut in this. I'm looking nuts after nuts after nuts. And I'm grabbing my nuts. I'm so and then guess where they were? The baking section.
Yeah. Looking baking, sometimes you'll find some things over there
right,
that are frequently used in that.
You almost have to do deductive reasoning.
My observation as well is, you ever notice that the produce section, a lot of times, is at the opposite end of the either the meat or dairy section.
Yes.
They're at opposite ends of the store.
Well, so Preston, I heard this tip a long time ago, and it always resonated. So if you're like potentially like on a diet or trying to just cook all of your meals, you stay in the outside of the supermarket.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's kind of like a circle.
The processed stuff's in the middle.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
The packaged stuff, the stuff that can sit, the shelf stable, they'll call it. So you stay on the outsides, and that's produce, meats, everything in the refrigerated section, and you go around. And even
dairy.
The frozen stuff is usually like one aisle in from the dairy and the cheeses and stuff.
Okay. So in my Acme, I go in, there is the produce. There is the rotisserie chickens in the back, and then you go around, and then there is the meats and all that stuff. But everything, I guess that layout would make sense.
Yeah,
judging by what I'll tell you what though, my Acme has the coldest refrigeration section. It's like holy hell! It slows the aging process, but for the most part, if you know how one supermarket's laid out, you'll get the rest.
Steve, I agree with the Acme things. I will take you to Restaurant Depot or the Jetro lot, where they have a whole freezer room that you literally, in the middle of July, you need a coat to go into that area.
All right.
When I am shopping, and sometimes there are a variety of different stores, and depends on if I got to pick something up on the way home, I may go to this store. If I'm nearby the house, I'll go to this store, so on and so on. So there, you know, but I if I'm looking for a specific item, I will consider myself, here's the deal, I don't read the signs in the aisles. And if I have to go and read a sign in the aisle, I feel like I've given up.
No.
You know what I mean? You're looking, are you looking at the first items at the end of the aisles?
Yeah, look at the end caps.
Like,
the end caps are usually different. But, yes, I'll glance in just at the first few items, and I'll know pretty much everything that's on that aisle.
By your reckoning, what is the most consistently, bizarrely placed stuff in a supermarket? So, because I've actually seen them separate the distilled water from, like, bottled water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's all water.
But they may do that on purpose so that you don't accidentally buy regular water when you need distilled water.
Right.
Because that can be bad for you if you're using it for, like, a medical purpose or something like that. But maybe that's the reason.
It's possible,
Steve. But the weirdest place, a lot of it is, in that baking section where, you know...
You got to be on your game, man.
Yeah, sure. The weirdest place thing there, for a while, I was eating these really low-calorie chips. They were they weren't potato chips, but they were like rice cakes or something.
Can
like
I guess
that.
Where?
Yeah, sure.
In the where they have the sugar-free cookies and the stuff for diabetics?
Nope. It was in the breakfast aisle.
What?
And it made no sense because I was getting barbecued flavor.
Huh.
And I don't know why they would put them there. And I walked around a few times. Finally, I gave in. I went to the service desk. I'm like, do you know where this is? And they're like, yeah.
Hi, I'm Preston Elliott from the MMR Morning Show.
Yes.
And I just grabbed this speaker here. Why is...
Yeah.
Hey, I'll tell you what.
And they were like, they admitted, they were like, we don't know why we put it there, but that's why they're there.
In my Acme, you will have no problem whatsoever finding tortillas. Flour or corn, because they're not in just one spot. They're for some reason they're close to like the meat section.
That makes sense.
They're also in the Tex-Mex Mexican section, and they're also in the bread section.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Three different places.
They'll sometimes plop some things like over by the deli.
Mm-hmm.
You can find some rolls over there, even though it's not anywhere near where the breads are.
You're exactly right. So because they know you're going to pair. They're good.
Yeah,
they're good.
They're good like that.
It's very hard to find vegetarian food sometimes. Like they'll have a little section. Sometimes the refrigerated stuff will be in with the produce, but then some supermarkets will split up the like sausage and bacon or fake bacon and put that in the breakfast, or some of them have it all together.
That's where it's shopping.
The supermarket every time I get a new one.
That's perfect.
It's actually just me every day.
Where are the sausages?
Where are the sausages?
Hang on. Matt has an interesting observation about these things. Hey, Matt, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, mister!
It's perfect. We're in the store. What's up, my man?
Talking back on what Marissa said earlier about like your produce sections and your deli and all that being, for the most part, on the perimeter of the store.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in construction, and they design it that way because those are the only areas of the stores that need plumbing electrical, so on and so forth around to them where you really don't need that on your cereal aisle.
That does make sense. However, though, at in my Acme, shout out to Mermaid Lane, there are a few refrigerated containers or shelves or refrigerators that are off the wall that are a couple of aisles in. So, but for the most part, that would make sense. So you're not running that much plumbing in those lines all the way to the middle of the store all the time, correct?
Right.
All right. I got it now.
Produce and seafood. They're the ones that really, produce, seafood and any of the butcher department, they're going to need water for sure. Cause they got to clean up over there.
Oh yeah.
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 All right. So anyhow,
I like that.
That's a look at the grocery store. Let's go down another aisle and see what else we can find.
You it's on the shelves over here. Get out of here, kid. You bother me.
This is great. So Black Friday's coming up, right?
Yes.
All right. And it's all about shopping. But there's another thing that that Friday is known as, and it's in the plumbing world. And it's known as Brown Friday.
Oh, my God. Because of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Wow.
And they literally call it Brown Friday.
Oh, those poor bastards.
The day after Thanksgiving, and according to Roto-Rooter, one of the largest plumbing repair and sewer and drain cleaning services in the U.S., they call it Brown Friday. And it's the busiest day for plumbing and drain service providers.
No doubt.
There are several factors that contribute to the issue. Large gatherings, meal preparation, and kitchen cleanup overload sinks and disposals, while post-meal waste loads use toilets and sewers, creating lots of work for plumbers. Many Thanksgiving hosts also have overnight guests who take showers, baths, flush toilets, and might even do a load of laundry or two. And this has led companies like Roto-Rooter to dub the day Brown Friday due to the amount of sewage and wastewater that they deal with. They typically see a 50% increase in call volume over an average Friday and 21% uptick in business over any other four-day weekend period.
It's crazy.
So they don't get a four-day weekend at all. They're all working on Friday, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So to avoid plumbing and drain trouble over Thanksgiving weekend, follow these tips. Never pour grease, turkey drippings, or cooking oil down drains.
Well, that's a standard, right?
They solidify in the pipes and they choke the drains. Don't put potato peels, poultry skins, bones, rice, or pasta down the garbage disposal. Disposals can handle small quantities of scraps, but most food should go into the trash can or compost pile. So I think I told you, Casey, the potato peels?
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Because normally we would just peel them right into the sink.
Yep. So there's no... Don't do that. Is there any garbage disposal unit that is meant for pulverizing things?
So these do pulverize. So ours got clogged up. Thank God our friends at Horizon. This guy came over, it was super nice. He fixed it for us, and he showed me. He took it out and he goes, "This was in there, and it's this gray plug of stuff." And he flat out told me, he's like, "Potato peels." He said, "Eggs. Don't put your eggshells in there." He told me, he said, "They're like a net." Okay, you would think that they grind up. They have this, eggshells have a membrane on the inside.
That's insane.
And that
in the
membrane, for some reason.
I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to have it?
That's insane about that membrane.
But he said that will cause what he described to be like a net, and it doesn't go away. It doesn't break down. It just adds up. And the potato peels are another thing, too. So I was the same way, Casey. I'd throw all vegetables, peelings, whatever, and also eggs. Anytime I made omelets, whatever, threw that stuff right into the garbage disposal. And it'll work, but over time, it's going to build up.
You were insane about that membrane.
And you're going to have to get you're going to have to make a plumbing call, a plumbing service call.
We have a composter in the back, which is it's good. So, you know, obviously you can. It's amazing. We have yet to use anything that's been created by a plumber.
I know. Same here. We had one, too. Carter started it.
Yeah.
We never use it.
Really? Not for the garden?
Not yet. It's still working on it.
Yeah.
It's going to take like 5 years for us to get anything useful out of it.
Because you can put the eggshells in there.
That's what he does.
Everything, yeah.
You can't put protein in it, though. You couldn't put
No. You put vegetables
in it. Right.
Raw chicken.
You couldn't put like an old mafia hit.
In the city, you have to pay to get it picked up.
Like, you can get a bucket, put it on your doorstep, and then compost? You have to pay for someone to come and pick it up.
And do what with it?
I guess they just have a big compost area where they collect everybody's at once.
Chuck it in the school.
I thought you were compost for yourself, and that's pretty much it.
In the burbs.
Yeah. Hey, do you have a like one of those big barrels that you collect rainwater for?
I want one.
Yeah, I should do that. I mean, you can just kind of make it yourself.
Yeah, they sell them at a hardware store.
We have one. We never use it.
What do you
never
do with it? What do you use it
For gardening. You know, so instead of using the hose, you can just use, actually you can attach a hose to the bottom of it. And then the one that they sell at Do It Best Hardware in Wayne, there's a little attachment at the bottom of it. And you would just run the hose from there into the garden.
All right. So, by the way, again, those things you don't want to put down in the garbage disposal are potato peels, poultry skins, bones, rice, and pasta.
Hand grenades.
Eggshells. Disposals can handle small quantities. Don't flush wet wipes down the toilet.
We've heard definitively now. Is this the definitive?
Even though
they say you can.
Even the flushable ones, don't do it. They're over time. If you're doing it enough, it's going to cause you a problem.
Did the Horizon guy tell you about that? Because
No, because we don't use them.
Because I did have them over for a plumbing issue, and they told me that exact same thing. Even the ones that say that they can be flushed cannot.
Place a plunger in guest bathrooms to save your guests the embarrassment of having to ask for one. Yes, definitely do that. I've had to ask for one before. It sucks.
Do you have like a ladle I need to scoop some turds out of this?
Sorry, I gummed up your works here with my gigantic turds. Can you help?
Yes.
And then it also says to spread out showers and laundry loads if you can do that.
Nice.
These are some suggestions for Brown Friday.
Oh, my God.
Which
is the worst.
All right, one more?
Yeah.
One more item from the store. Do you guys want to hear dating trend thing? Or would you rather hear...
What is the general store now, like a brothel?
The most popular dog names. What would you rather hear?
Let's do the dating.
All right, we'll do the dating thing. The new dating term is called pocketing. Okay.
It's like docking?
No, it's not, not like docking.
Sorry.
Pocketing is when a new partner is actively avoiding acknowledging your existence online and is going out of their way to avoid introducing you to any of their friends and family.
Oh.
A relationship expert at eHarmony, Rachel Lloyd, says the behavior doesn't necessarily mean the person is cheating, but says that those who do it often want to reap the benefits of a relationship while also living a single life online.
Ooh. So is part of this pocketing process, like, would it be at the beginning of a relationship, or can one be pocketed well into a relationship?
I think that it has to start from the beginning.
Right.
So, yeah, and then if it drags on for a long time, then you got to go...
What's up?
What's going on here?
Am I your bae or not?
Right.
I may be guilty of this.
Okay, really? Explain.
Yeah, like my boy, it takes me a really long time to post a significant other on my social media.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I never see your significant other.
You date for a while before you ever reveal to us that you've got someone in your life.
And a lot of it, too, oh, my God, this is so negative to think of it. It's like, I don't want to have to go back and erase those photos.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like,
I get it.
Let me make sure that this is for real. This is really happening.
Also, you remember her deal with World Be Free when she,
she
broke. But once you do post that, Marissa, that it just invites questions and commentary. And so, like, you then have to deal with that. And so there's an aspect of it where you're also protecting their privacy a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, and sometimes it's weird to like tag. I'm sorry, Preston. Yeah. To like to tag them, and then people start clicking on it.
And there are people that are opposite of that who immediately look at us.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Wow. Like Kim and Pete.
Yeah.
But
it
goes
downhill real quick.
Marissa, I wasn't sure if you and Matt were even together anymore, and then. And I wasn't going to say anything, and then you had mentioned him yesterday off air. I was like, okay, they are still together.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we are. Just haven't posted photos together. I'd rather post my boozy milkshakes.
Well, I saw you with a huge milkshake yesterday, so that was pretty cool.
It was really good.
So signs that you're being pocketed could include your partner's never replying to your social media comments.
Yeah.
Removing your tagged pictures from their profile.
Uh-huh.
And never adding your tagged stories to their account.
Mm.
How dare them. Elaine Parker, dating expert and CEO of Safer Date, says that this behavior can also be a sign of a controlling partner who is insecure or jealous about their other half. The experts say that if you think you're being pocketed, you should have an open and honest conversation with your partner about how you are feeling. And if they do not open up or get defensive, it might be time to reevaluate the relationship.
What a morass of crap. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I met and got married when I did, you know, because there's just so much more to consider now.
So
much more. Like,
pocketing.
Don't you think OJ would have killed Nicole years earlier if there hadn't been social media?
Yeah. Oh my God.
With his level of jealousy?
Well, and think about that whole, like, Kardashian level of social media.
Maybe he'd be going out of his mind.
Yep.
All right. Which he is.
We got to close up shop, gang. Sorry about that.
The General Store. That's Preston Elliott waving goodbye to you. Hope you come back very soon.
Yeah. We will come back soon, but not to the store. We're going to return in a moment, and we're going to get into the bizarre files, so make sure that you stay with us. But in the meantime, as you are hanging out, why don't you call in and try and win a copy of Free Guy, starring Ryan Reynolds, which is on digital and available now. We will take five. What's that?
Good movie.
Five callers at 215-263-WMMR, and we will give you a copy of that. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR, celebrating 40 years of Pierre on the air.
Naturally, when you're on the air as much as Pierre has been, you're going to have a fair amount of influence over your audience. And such was the case with one Central Jersey listener who grew up to have an audience of his own by the name of John Stewart.
People, we're actually wondering if you grew up listening to MMR.
Yeah, I grew up listening to MMR. I grew up listening to Pierre Robert, for God's sakes.
Really?
Yeah.
Central Jersey or North Jersey?
Central Jersey, Mercer County.
Well,
yeah, MMR was the one that gave you the first taste of the danger.
The danger?
Yeah, because the other stations, you know, you sort of grew up listening to, there was an AM station.
All right.
And that was the one that taught you a little bit about, like, the fifth dimension and those kinds of bands. And then you'd head down to MMR, and they'd introduce you to Led Zeppelin.
Excellent.
And then you realized that there were things that you could, let's say, grow and smoke.
Let's just say that.
Hey, this is John Stewart. You're listening to Pierre Robert on WMMR, the station and the DJ that corrupted me as a youth.
God bless Pierre Robert.
The tightest show in radio.
Congratulations from all of us at MMR.
All right, we have a bizarre file to do.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's bizarre file.
Brought to you this morning by Iron Hill Brewery. Their top-selling IPAs and seasonal beers are on sale everywhere. Available at craft beer is sold locally. You can visit IronHillBrewery.com and click Beer Finder to find a retailer near you. Let's see, an Ontario teenager has been arrested after allegedly stealing $46 million from one person in a massive cryptocurrency scam in the United States.
$46 million.
Yeah, a teenager.
Okay.
Police announced the arrest after a joint investigation with the FBI and the United States Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force that began in March of 2020.
Well, they always say go for an amount that won't be so obvious.
According to police, the victim had been targeted by a SIM swap attack, a method of manipulating cellular network carriers so scammers can intercept two-factor authentication requests.
Oh, boy.
Some of the stolen cryptocurrency was used to purchase an online username that was considered to be rare in the gaming community. And this transaction led investigators to uncover the account holder of the rare username. So this guy wanted a gamer tag, and that was his downfall. This transaction led to that, and a youth was arrested earlier this year in connection with the incident for the theft over $5,000 in possession of property or proceeds of property obtained by crime. The age of the suspect has not been released by investigators. They said that this is the largest cryptocurrency scam involving one person in Canadian history.
Of course.
As the case makes its way through the courts, police are asking the public to be vigilant in the security of their funds, whether they are held in crypto or centralized currency. But this kid stole $46 million.
It's a good lesson.
Worth of crypto.
If you're missing $46 million, you need to ask how that happened.
Yes, please do. A woman who helped deliver her best friend's baby claimed that just days later she discovered that her own husband was the father of the child.
Oh, man.
Haley Custer.
This is right out of Maury.
Who is from Wickenburg, Arizona, said that she was left heartbroken after finding out her husband of 6 years, Travis Bowling, had allegedly cheated on her with her close pal. The mother of four said after being there every step of the way to support her unnamed best friend during the pregnancy and birth, including wearing the hospital's daddy wristband, She was devastated when she spotted a specific birth defect on the baby's neck that was identical to the one her husband has. Yeah, and that's how she found out. After confronting the pair about the suspicions that her partner had fathered the baby, she claimed her worst fears were confirmed, and she now alleges that Bowling had cheated on her with up to 30 women during their marriage.
Doesn't seem committed to it, does he?
Despite the infidelity, Custer says that she welcomed her first friend into the home after she gave birth because she had nowhere to go. She said, "I kept thinking of my kids. At the end of the day, this is their blood sibling, and I'm not going to be the one who causes harm to that child."
It's a good woman.
She said in one clip that she decided to get sober after she became pregnant with her own child years earlier, and she wanted to help her friend, who was also an addict, do the same.
Jeez.
When she had noticed the hereditary defect on the baby's neck a few days after they got home from the hospital, she claimed that she knew right away that the baby was her husband. She said, "I'm familiar with the defect because my older son has it. It's an extra piece of cartilage that grows out of the side of his neck."
And that she would spot that and know that immediately.
She said, "I was changing her daughter, and I noticed that she had what we call the bowling bumps, and several of his other children have it as well. So I knew exactly that the baby was my husband." So, yeah, it was kind of a strange way to find out about that. A New Zealand woman had to call police for help when she found herself being held hostage by a possum in her home. The woman said she was unpacking her car at her home when she felt something run up her leg.
Oh, my God.
She soon realized it was a possum and ran into her house. Each time she tried to go outside, the possum would reappear and charge at her. Sounds rabid,
doesn't
it?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Police arrived at the woman's home and were speaking to her through a window when the possum climbed an officer's leg. The officer was able to stun the possum with the beam of his flashlight, and it was placed in a box with some dry pet food. The animal was relocated to an area far away from the woman's home, and police say the animal may have been formerly kept as a pet or may have just recently been separated from its mother. Now, I said rabid. I don't think, are possums the ones that can't catch rabies?
I don't know. That's a good question, because we have a picture up here on the screen, and this looks nothing like any possum I've ever seen.
It's a New Zealand possum. Steve, I pulled up a photo from this article, and it's a very different-looking animal.
It's cute.
It is. It's much cuter than American possums,
but obviously ornery.
Nick, can you do me a favor and search and see if possums can get rabies or not? I know there's some rodent out there.
I know you're right. I've heard something similar.
Or something like that, that can't have rabies. So, all right.
It's extremely rare in opossums.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
All right. Let's see. An unfortunate bear was finally freed after having his head stuck in a plastic container for nearly a month. Now, I know it's horrible when these things happen, but it's pretty funny looking. You got to admit that.
Because we know that he was freed.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but it's funny looking when it's on their head.
I ain't no fortunate bear.
The bear was first spotted several weeks ago, and biologists attempted to track and trap the animal, but were unable to locate it.
I feel so stupid.
The bear was spotted again 3 weeks later when it appeared on a resident's backyard security camera with the container still stuck on its head.
Hey, Buckethead.
This time, state officials were able to successfully locate the animal and tranquilize it. They say that they removed the plastic container from around the 250-pound female bear's face.
Bear watch!
Officials theorize the container may have been part of an automatic feeder, which is likely why the bear was able to survive so long with his head stuck inside of it.
Because there was food in there.
It had a meal in there for him. Officials say the freed bear appeared to be healthy and was able to eat. And there you go. That's what we have.
That's wild.
In the bizarre file for you. Let's take a break. Come back in a second, and we'll see how you're doing and how you've been paying attention, whether or not. And we'll have the lesson question, trash, and music news. Stay put.
Did you know you could listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, "Alexa, open MMR."
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a prize that is a pair of tickets to see the very funny Sebastian Maniscalco and the Nobody Does This Tour, Wells Fargo Center. It's next week on the 24th. The question this morning has to be, who is Vina's sister? 215-263-WMMR. Who is Vina's sister? 215-263-WMMR. Goes way back to the 7 o'clock hour. Let's see if you know the answer.
The sister of Vina.
The sister of Vina is who? Let's do the trash right call.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by KGL Skin. And KGL is testing a topical treatment for facial acne on teens and young adults with moderate to severe acne. It'd be great if it was tropical, right? They send you to an awesome location.
Yes, it's fantastic.
It's topical, though.
Get some tan.
If qualified, though, you may be paid up to $350. KGLSkinStudyCenter.com for information. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, John Gosselin, formerly of John and K Plus 8, telling Dr. Oz that he hasn't spoken to his twin daughters, Maddie and Kara, in 8 years. Gosselin says the last thing he wants to do is be a helicopter parent. There you go. Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello have split up after 2 years of dating. The singers posted on Instagram saying they will always share a bond that cannot be undone, no matter how much one of them refused to do anal.
Oh my God. Wow.
And finally, Teresa Giudice says she's tired of thinking everyone has the right, everyone who thinks they have the right to discuss her impending marriage to fiancé Marty Caffrey. Giudice says she constantly mentions how much she loves her privacy throughout all 11 seasons of her reality. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, we'll go for an answer here, and we need to know who Vina's sister is, sister of Vina. We will go to Larry for the answer. Hey, Larry.
Yes.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry. Right,
do me a favor. Tell me who Vina's sister is.
Serena.
Yes. You got it, buddy. Hang on, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
We're going to set you up with a pair of tickets to see Sebastian Maniscalco. Nobody Does This Tour. It's coming to Wells Fargo Center on November 24th. And tickets are on sale now at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! What the f*** is that?
All right, it is brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. The last thing you need is plumbing problems. With visitors in town, you know, Horizon Services is offering up the up to $200 off select plumbing repairs. With same-day service, you can visit horizonservices.com. We will begin with news about Jerry Cantrell, Alice in Chains co-founder. Recorded a digital event called An Evening with Jerry Cantrell last night. And the stream was an intimate performance that was recorded live from Los Angeles. The sold-out performance included a six-song set, storytelling, and a Q&A hosted by actor-comedian Jeff Garlin. The stream will be a ticketed event on Wednesday, December 1st.
That seems wild that Jeff Garlin would host that event.
Yeah. Maybe they know each other.
Yeah.
You know, it might be a case like that. So
maybe he's a big Goldbergs fan.
By the way, Jerry Cantrell will be at the TLA on April 3rd, by the way. Pearl Jam, Eddie Vedder. He will release his latest solo set. Earthling is what it's going to be called. And it's coming up February 11th via his own Seattle Surf imprint. Eddie has just issued a lyric video for the album's second single, The Haves. And that's all I have about that. I really don't have any other information about it.
So I was watching yesterday on Paramount Plus. They have a whole bunch of archived Unplugged sessions. Yeah. And I watched Pearl Jam. And, I mean, they're just so great. You know, especially early on in their careers. And he's just a dynamic vocalist.
What album had just come out after?
That was 10.
It was 10. Okay.
That was 10. Yeah. So they basically had done all of 10 pretty much. And, I mean, he's just belting it out. And it's crazy. But then I was reminded of the time when we pulled a fast one on Nick and played a, because they had been rumoring that Pearl Jam was going to have a new album, and that was in 2019. I had completely forgotten that they'd released Gigaton last year. Have we played any?
Yeah, we played Dance of the Clairvoyants for a little bit.
Okay.
The Super Blood.
But Wolf nothing Moon. Hit, right? Nothing was like.
No major hits off of it.
Right.
When they did the show in Atlantic City, or not Atlantic City, Asbury Park. They did 6 or 7 songs off the new record, which is a lot of songs to do in a relatively short show
off a new record. You know,
at a festival.
At a festival show, yeah. It's not like a full-on concert. So, listen, it's a good album if you like Pearl Jam. You know, it sounds like Pearl Jam. I enjoy it. But I think 6 or 7 songs from a new record at a festival show.
That's not right.
A bit much.
That's not right. And also, it goes to our discussion the other day about bands that are competent releasing good music but not chasing the hit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Stones have new music. The Who puts out new music. Bruce. And they're just
and
not.
Nobody cares.
Well, I think that they care.
Nobody. It's not. I mean, I was joking.
Yeah, no, but I know what you're saying.
I just know you're not going to care, man.
Who was it? Marissa or Casey brought up the U2 record that is still on everybody's phone, you know? And, like, it's not a bad record. It's just people don't listen to it like they listen to Joshua Tree or Octoon Baby.
Nick, I have a question. Was there a Pearl Jam MTV Unplugged that was never aired?
Well, that's the one that Casey's talking about. And so it took a long time for them to air
it. It's the same thing. Okay.
Yeah, and they had been touring in Europe, and then they were forced to do an acoustic gig because literally, like, the equipment didn't show up. There was some sort of malfunction or whatever. And so they found out that they could do that competently. And then Nirvana had, there were Eric Clapton. His Unplugged was really popular. Oh, yeah. And then so Pearl Jam came back and did theirs.
Okay. One last story. Dave Frischberg, a prolific comedic jazz songwriter whose work stretched more than 5 decades, passed away on Wednesday. I know you probably don't know the name. He was 88 years old. He worked prominently with several major artists over his long career, but he's best known, perhaps, for his contribution to the 1970s Saturday morning cartoon Schoolhouse Rock, and the song I'm Just a Bill.
It's great.
Was one that he had written. And I think we had that sent over, Casey, if you have that handy.
I can find that for you.
He was born in 1933 in St. Paul, Minnesota. Frischberg learned to play jazz and other forms of popular music from a young age. After graduating the University of Minnesota with a journalism degree, he served in the Air Force for 2 years, after which he moved to New York City to pursue his music career. Made a name for himself through his humorous compositions, often referencing or satirizing popular culture and current events. And he moved to Los Angeles in 1971, where he began working as a session musician and film and TV composer. And that led eventually to his work on Schoolhouse Rock. And I'm just a bill.
Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to...
Now, that's not him singing.
City. It's a long,
that's the same guy that sang Conjunction. He passed away a few years ago.
I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
So it's one of the most popular Schoolhouse Rock songs ever, and has been parodied by The Simpsons and Saturday Night Live, just to name a few.
You know, Harry Chapin's brother Tom Chapin also wrote for Schoolhouse Rock.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. He was also nominated, by the way, David Frischberg was, for the Best Jazz Vocals Grammy Award 4 times.
Huh.
Moved to Portland in 1986 and remained there until his death, continuing to record and perform well into the 2010s. So he had been at it for quite a long time. So sad news. And that is what we wrap up the music news with. Let us take a break. I want to remind you, we do have a new Daily Rush video. If you want to see more of the Camp Out for Hunger recaps, we've got Mike Kerr of Royal Blood, Scotty Hartnell, Danny Briere and Brad Marsh, and Robert Irvine and Mark Murphy as they ride the can drop. It's sponsored by Xfinity's Gig Speed Internet. Learn more at Xfinity.com, by the way. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Jack Black, I like that trippy sound of that song, 93.3 WMMR. It's called Taking Me Back.
I'd love to see Corey Feldman dance to that.
Oh, my God. He'd have to be wearing that silver hoodie.
That kitty suit.
Yeah.
Kitty.
You said Jack Black, though.
Oh, did I say Jack Black?
You did.
Sorry, Jack White. It was great when those two finally got to meet each other.
Yes.
It was cool. Were they going to talk about a band called the Gray Stripes or something like that?
Because black and white make gray? Okay.
Okay, anyhow, not Jack Black, Jack White on MMR. It is 10:38, and we are wrapping up today's show. And I would like to thank John Heffron for being here.
Yes.
John will be at Helium Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow. There's two shows each night, so go by and see him because he is very funny and he's a super nice guy, too. And that's it. That's the only guest we had on the air this morning. We have another guest who is sashaying over to the microphone as we speak, taking a sip, making sure that,
too hot.
How's that whiskey?
Damn good whiskey.
Yeah, you look like you just took a big old shot of something.
I did.
Nice.
Shot of love.
Yeah.
Salty.
Hey now.
How you doing?
Well, I mean, love in the form of liquid coffee.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Nothing like my Dunkin'.
What's up in your world, man? How you doing?
I am doing just a spectacularly.
I love that.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying listening to the clips of your 40th celebration. Yeah.
My misadventures through the years.
What was today?
John Stewart.
John Stewart. Yeah. That was great. I remember that interview. That was awesome.
Really?
Yeah, totally.
Huh.
Yeah.
I had no idea that he had grown up listening to the station. Kind of like the DeLeo brothers of STP. What?
I was working for you at the time. Do you remember how that interview went about?
I was running ever so slightly behind.
So I'm on the
John
phone.
Stewart?
Yeah, so okay. Pierre had to come in early to record it because John Stewart was doing a show at the Tower, and I believe the interview was scheduled to start at 8:30, and so John Stewart calls promptly at 8:30, and Pierre is not here. And so I had to talk to John. I'm a huge John Stewart fan, and I was a little nervous picking up the phone and having a conversation with him, and he said, well, do you know when he's going to be in? And I said, well, he's supposed to be here now. And so we kind of like stalled for a minute. And then you came into the booth studio, which is where we recorded it. And we were able to get it on. And so we made it happen. But I was like sweating bullets. And I'm sure you were because, I know you wanted to chat with him as well.
Right. I'd forgotten about that till now. But
It ended up being a great interview. I mean, he's so conversational and easy to chat with. And grew up listening to the station, which is a cool thing.
I mean, he couldn't be cooler.
Nice.
So, fun stuff.
Yeah, and there's more to come.
There's more to come. There's me flying the Pink Floyd blimp.
Yes.
That's coming. Or has that already aired? I don't think that is.
No, there was the racehorse.
The racehorse, right.
The World Series.
Oh, is that in there?
Yeah, that's in there. And then we had the variety of...
Has that happened already? Did they already run that
one? Already ran that one. And then the variety of shows that you've been a part of that Pierre presents.
Yeah.
So that clip ran.
Oh, and I wanted to mention something else really cool that's happening. On the website, if you have taken a picture with Pierre at any time over the years and you have a digital photo of it, or you can take a photo of the photo you have and you can upload it, we have a digital photo album.
It's great.
Of Pierre pics. So it's called Pierre and Me. I uploaded one yesterday of you and I in Tahoe.
Oh, cool.
Sharing a cup of coffee. Bill Weston posted one. And if you just go through, you'll see a ton of listener photos from concerts.
How do I do that?
Day Off in the Slopes.
Jim Sutcliffe from Live Nation, hopefully back to Live Nation soon. Live Nation, rehire Jim Sutcliffe. He's the best. He's still, kind of on a partial leave, but he does some things. He sent me a picture, the only picture I have of me and Neil Young.
Oh.
I thought that would be a fun one to put up there.
Yes, well, there's actually two galleries. So if you go to WMR.com, there is a photo of photos of you from over the years with celebrities and all sorts of dolphins kissing you
on
the cheek. Dolphins
sent in a picture.
Oh, look, it Flipper sent that.
And then there's the Pierre and Me gallery, which you can just click upload yourself. I'll walk you through it later today.
Excellent. Okay. I'll be ready to rock.
How about we do our letter of the day? Ready?
Thinking.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by the letter.
R as in roof.
All right. And with R, our final letter, that means we need a number. Caller, let's do number 6215263WMMR. You get to take a crack at telling us what the word is. And we do have a prize to give away with that. What are you giggling at?
You'll see.
Okay. I'll see.
You will see.
Oh, the word, I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't pay attention to that. I always have to look to Pierre and wait to hear Great Day in the Morning to figure out whether or not they have given us a correct word or not.
It's a convoluted road we're traveling.
Great. So I love it when that happens.
Yes, occasionally that can happen, even with the sharpest minds like mine. But there you go.
All right, what's up
on the
show?
Thank you for asking.
What's up?
Here's what's on the show today.
The damn show.
Dylan We got Bob Dylan coming in to sing an hour for me.
Oh, wow.
Not really.
No.
I have Bob Dylan tickets and Bob Dylan tickets for the Met in a week or so. So I've got those to give away. I've got Smith and Myers at that newly opened Brooklyn Bowl. That's coming up in December. And also we'll have a workforce block of some Shinedowny material and some Smith & Myers and some Gin Blossoms because they're playing the Hard Rock in Atlantic City tomorrow. They've made some great music over
the years. Oh, yeah. I love the Gin Blossoms.
I just love Allison Road.
That's probably my favorite Gin Blossom song is Allison Road.
Follow You Down is the one I keep hearing. I'll follow you down. Yeah. Great songs. So I love that kind of music. And we will do a block of them, block of the Black Crows, some vinyl for Tommy Conwell and the Young Rumblers because they're playing the Ardmore Music Hall Saturday night. So we've got an action-packed program.
Excellent. All right, we're ready for action.
Let's rock.
Let's go to the phones. We're looking for caller number six. It's Paula. Paula, hello there.
Hi, yes.
Paula, do you know the word of the week?
I hope so.
What is it?
Saper.
What will you spell that for me, Paula?
S-A-P-E-R.
Great day in the morning!
Saper.
Saper.
One who sapes.
One who sapes.
One who participates in saping.
Right. Saping.
Yeah.
Saping is the great new trend. Well, and
you remember Saper Man, the comic book hero from the...
That is the new DC franchise.
Yes.
What were you saying, Paula?
No, I thought it may have been super, but I stuck with the A.
Stick to your guns.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's done on purpose just to make sure you're paying attention, Paula.
I'm always paying attention when there's money involved.
Damn right. And it's $500.
Yay!
From Ashley Holmstrom. Yeah, congratulations, Paula. Hang on the line. We'll get your information. We'll take care of that. And don't forget, you can visit Ashley Home Store's 11 area locations or ashleyfurniture.com for their 12 days of Black Friday deals that are going on. I'm going to take this moment to thank our sponsors as we're wrapping up. We would like to thank Dunkin' Donuts. Dunkin' is the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. It's also brought to you today by Acme. Download the Acme app to see your all new deals, rewards, and perks today. Visit acmemarkets.com for details. And Iron Hill Brewery's top-selling IPAs and seasonal beers. They are now available everywhere that craft beer is sold locally. Next week, Thanksgiving week. So a short broadcast week for us, but we're going to have some great guests on the program. Big J. Okerson will be joining us. Adam Ferrara will be on the program. And in preparation for that 6 ABC Thanksgiving Day parade, our buddy Rick Williams will be joining us.
Awesome.
We'll have a few other things, too. That's it. We're done. Rage on and have yourself a wonderful weekend, and we will see you later, gang. Bye-bye.
MMR. Hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the ba-ba-choo-da-ba-choo-ba-ba-ba-do-ga-ga-ba-ba-da.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.